What's poppin', everybody? It's the Drew and Mike Show in the deals in the D.com studios. And we're cruising through the week. It's the Thursday show. And Wednesday, hopefully, everybody got their taxes in.
It's tax day, yeah.
Just barely.
Did everybody watch the governor today?
No.
She had an adorable press conference.
Good. Cool. Glad that's what we're going for now.
With some very special guests. So, yeah, very special. I'll tell you about that in a second. But first, what do I want to talk about first? Oh, I guess our Facebook sponsor. Are we on? We're not on Facebook yet.
Yeah, not until the song ends.
Okay, well, then I'll talk a little bit about Gretchen. Gretchen thought it would be cool to have coaches from Michigan State and Michigan come in together, except Harbaugh didn't show up, or Juwan?
Well, the who else is there? Hutch?
No, they had the female basketball coach who I seriously didn't know who it was. I didn't know who she was. Like, who's that lady?
That's number four on the rung. I mean, Hutch gets bigger billing than she does.
Kim Arrico would be her name.
Never heard of her.
What the hell are you all?
Susie Merchant spoke first.
I know Susie. She's good. Good lady.
She's very pretty. Sorry, not sorry. I mean, I guess I'm not.
Why would you apologize for that?
I don't know, because you're not supposed to discover someone's physical beauty first, I guess. I don't know her. She's won 500 games and she's very cute.
That's ludicrous.
And then Izzo spoke third. And, you know, they're all very good. Yeah, what they do, they're good at their jobs, they're all successful. I don't know, Kim Arrico, I'm not sure Mark didn't know her. Mark said, Mark, do you know who Kim Arrico is?
No.
Mark's like, huh?
Never She's heard of her.
The Michigan women's basketball coach. How ashamed were you? How ashamed were you?
Me? Yeah. Ashamed? I'm never ashamed. I'm not ashamed about anything.
Well, anyway, they had...
That's true, you're not.
They had introduced a new video at Governor Whitmer's press conference about wearing a mask, and the stars of the video are coaches from Michigan and Michigan State.
The famous video.
Getting together to tell the story together. The rivalry disappears in the need.
When health is involved.
In the need for safety.
Yeah.
All of that disappears.
Mm-hmm.
So it was really cute. In fact, you can probably find it about just a few minutes after 3 if you want to play it.
I'll look for it.
If you really want to play it. But
well, it sounds like you want to see it again. Is this just their way of getting celebrities to push out that you should wear a mask?
Yeah.
In there?
So I think so. You know what?
So where's Chef Daniels? Wouldn't he be the guy to do it?
Yeah, he'd be great.
Because there's a lot of hypocrisy when you see athletic coaches pushing a mask.
That's my first impulse is to rag on it. I'm not going to stop before I rag on it. But I will give her credit because these are people that we know. Well, I don't know about the women's coaches. Harbaugh's in the commercial. Juwan Howard's in the commercial. Tom Izzo's in the commercial. And the women's coaches, I don't remember their names. And they're telling people to wear masks, and it's probably going to run a lot. I don't know. They didn't say how much money they spent.
It would be a good commercial for their product.
Harbs is in the commercial?
Yes.
He didn't show up today? All right.
He was not at the press conference.
Do you want to hear the commercial?
I think it's important.
As rivals, we don't always see eye to eye.
Like who scored the best results?
That guy.
Who's going to be who?
And whether we wear green
or blue.
But one thing we can all agree on to help stop the spread of COVID-19.
Wear a mask.
Wear a mask.
Wear a mask.
Wear a mask. Wear a mask.
The ball's in your court, Michigan.
Cool.
Now, it made me, I have to admit, I stuck with the press conference because I thought, oh, Harbaugh's going to probably talk or
COVID-19.
Or maybe they'll have the new Michigan State. Who's the new Michigan State football coach?
Mel Tucker. He was
Mel
on
Tucker.
There. He was second, yeah.
See, I didn't even know who he was.
God.
And Tom Izzo. So, yeah, I mean, these are people.
That's racist of you.
We love all these people. So I suppose it was a good idea. But, you know, at the very beginning of this, and especially, What's so funny?
Max wrote, sanitize that ball, because they were throwing it from screen to screen as if it was the same ball continuing.
It's a COVID
that's
ball.
That's really funny.
Right away, I just felt like, how can football coaches tell us that we're not being safe enough?
Yeah.
How can they tell us to, hey, I'm concerned about your health, mask up, when they are wanting to play football, they're practicing football. I know already about some super spreader events involving college football teams, not here. I know. I'm not going to say who, because...
idiot!
It's kind of interesting, though. The people who are involved in this spreading event have, a couple of them have said, yeah, I think everybody's too afraid because they don't want to be the person that, you know, got this, made a big deal about this.
Oh, they don't want to be the whistleblower of COVID amongst college football.
It's the kind of...
For big programs.
It's the kind of thing where you'd probably get death threats and, you know...
Death threats are nothing. Come on, we all know that.
I know.
COVID's going to kill you if you keep that up.
Anyway, Tom Izzo, you know, said, we need to make better decisions. I'm thinking, but wouldn't it be a better decision not to practice basketball and not to sweat on each other and grab each other?
Yeah.
I mean, if we're really, really telling the truth, and Wimmer, too, you know, was kind of implying that these people are so worried about safety, and, you know, if we take all the steps we need to take, like wearing masks, we have the power to save lives and be in a better position to initiate these rivalries. I'm thinking, but the last thing we need to do is have football games with big crowds or with people tackling each other. That would increase coronavirus.
I know. So you know there's somebody out there, though, I guess who this is targeted to, who's going to go, what? Those coaches told me to wear a mask. I think I'll wear a mask. Like, who doesn't know that you're supposed to wear a mask right now? It's just some people refuse to.
Well, some people might like hearing Tom Izzo say it, or they might like Jim Harbaugh saying it, or Juwan Howard, or any of these guys.
Mm. Who would convince you, though, of anyone in the world where to say it?
Paul
Morgan
McCartney.
Freeman, or...
Like, Paul McCartney.
Like, if you weren't wearing a mask, who would talk you into it?
It's a good question.
I did not want to wear a mask, though. I wasn't really
against
it. Yeah,
no, but if that were the scenario.
Beetle would be nice.
Paul, you should wear a mask.
You're going to wear a mask.
Sure, Paul.
Don't stop the spread of COVID.
I heard you like the songs. You really like these masks.
Elvis Costello would be kind of cool. I wouldn't mind.
But nobody can do
because I'd be talking to him.
Nobody can do an Elvis Costello impersonation.
Or the ghost of John Lennon, maybe.
This is the only person I would listen to.
You have to wear a mask every time you go out.
So bossy.
Very good.
Really, it's a good. She needs a commercial.
Bossy.
I tell you, when
she doesn't.
This, I feel so bad, and I do not want to get in the weeds on this, but I feel so bad for people who are mixed up in the whole go to school, don't go to school, because it's just,
thank you.
It's just such a clusterfuck. But hold on, let me finish this first. Facebook Live is brought to you by our friends at Emergency Response Services Incorporated. Speaking of debacles, if you have a debacle like water and lots of it in your basement, you want Emergency Response Services Incorporated, and you want to call 877-JOB-DONE. You want that number on your fridge because you're going to want to act fast, and you're going to need them there fast, and they've done it for some of our people already. They've also done the COVID disinfectant.
I got a text from Jeff over there, and he was listening back to the show where I mentioned the flood zones. I don't know if you probably don't remember that, but he said it's a FEMA site, and he said it's fantastic content to share with your listeners. It's an eye-opener, since most people don't know that a lot of southeastern Michigan is within flood zones. So that site is out there. Maybe we'll find a link for the website, but pointing out that you might need IRSI, even though you don't think you need them yet.
I think she's flooded!
Does this mean, like, in the near future, or just because you're in that zone?
Just because you're in these flood zones, man. There's a lot more flood zones in this area. I mean, we know, because your best friend Water visits you all the time.
We've all had way too much water when we didn't expect it. And is there anything worse than going, I just got to get this out of the basement, and walking off you,
I know. I'm at the point now, after a big rainstorm, I won't even go in the basement. I'll let someone else find it.
Hey, all you need is Flex Seal. I've seen the commercials.
Slap it on.
We have been.
They spray it over windows that are gushing water, and it works.
Cut a boat in half.
We've been so lucky in this basement.
I know.
Emergency Response Service Incorporated. Well, they'll be here. If we see water here, they'll be here. Hopefully really fast. 877 job done. Also mold removal, storm damage, fire damage, and COVID disinfecting. A lot of people need this for vehicles or homes or businesses, or maybe you didn't think about it, but you're thinking about it now. 877-JobDone.com or 877-JobDone Emergency Response Services.
I execute judgment on you, COVID-19
Incorporated. So, you know, these poor people dealing with school, all of you nice people. And I've been watching.
Fucking shit school.
I mean, you have to feel for people because the endless drumbeat of death, ICU, full morgues, no PPP equipment, you know, hospitals that are overloaded, hot spots, super spreaders, promised deaths. I mean, all this stuff. And little kids.
I should be back in school.
Wait. What was that last one?
Promised deaths.
What's that?
When they tell you how many people are going to die. I mean, remember when they said there's going to be 250,000 people die, or half a million, or 150,000 people. Or
never heard the phrase promised death.
Well,
how cute.
I think they're trying to promise death.
I haven't heard the phrase, but I remember early on in COVID. I remember, Mark, wasn't it like a 1.5 million?
1.5 million, yeah. That was
College. How many have died in the world?
I don't know.
It's good. Isn't it like a million?
No one keeps count anymore. I know, except for CNN on the side.
The pandemic of 1969 killed a million people, and our population was, you know, half what it is now. So, I mean, when you count everybody, it's a lot of people. So, yeah,
you know,
I mean,
when Chris Cuomo is still sick. They were talking about that on.
I don't believe him.
I saw that. Yeah, I have depression and my memory doesn't work, and I'm doing a talk show on TV, but I can't remember anything. Lift.
If your brain is that foggy, Cuomo, maybe you shouldn't be doing the show right now.
That seems like the pretty quick retort.
My serious issue, thought about him is that he has such a punchable face.
He does.
And it really doesn't matter what's coming out of it. It's just punchable.
And he's a bully, too. He wants to fight people. A guy calls him Fredo, and he claims he's, that's a slur!
I really got angry when he said, I can't recover from my workouts quick enough. Stop working out!
We already know you work out. We've seen your Instagram.
He was working out nude.
Stop crying.
In the backyard while his wife was doing a thing.
A camera angle.
He is a piece of work.
By the way, almost 600,000 worldwide deaths attributed to coronavirus.
So how many people will not err on the side of keeping their kids safe? I hear the suggestion that, you know, the kids can get around compromised family members once they get it. But honestly, isn't it really just that they're kids that people go, I just don't want to take any chances, even though it doesn't seem like there's a lot of chance. But nonetheless, isn't that really what it's about, is wanting to keep your kid from getting sick?
Well, that, but there are adults that work in the school. And, you know, you and I were talking about it before.
Well, any compromised adult should not be at school, period. I mean, that's easy. No, go home. You're 60.
Just have the teachers all zoom in.
I like that idea. Yeah, you ever see those doctors that visit like an iPad on a Segway that zoom around, you know? Why don't they just have the teachers be on an iPad and a Segway and let the kids run? It'll be like Lord of the Flies.
Is he, a robot?
The Michigan chapter of pediatrics today was giving their shtick about getting kids in school, and that they should be in school, and they should be safe, and they should benefit from being in school, and we need to protect staff. And they said 3 to 6 feet between desks and 60 feet from the teacher.
I should be back in school.
Yeah, easier said than done.
And then after all this mask stuff, they said, you know, students don't need to wear a mask, but we believe they can. I'm thinking,
wait, say
what?
It again?
Who I said, well, kid, they don't need to wear masks, kids? But we think they can.
Kids?
Yes. But why would you, if you're going to say everybody's got to wear a mask, then why would you exclude anyone? Why don't you just...
All my teachers can eat my asshole!
Anyway, apparently the mask is not a big deal for kids. Yeah. So anyway, what I don't want people to do now is to send... I just really wanted to say I sympathize with parents. Don't send me these links like last time. All these people sent me links saying that kids don't spread the coronavirus very much, or they spread it like wildfire, or they spread it like anyone else. I don't want any links about children. I am not a doctor. I do not want to. I just read stuff and we talk about it. But
it's really interesting, though, because
you're not a doctor either.
Like Los Angeles said, now we're doing it all online. So did San Diego. But Orange County's like, you get back in school stat, because nobody really knows.
The California school system, all they teach you about is that we came from chimpanzees and about sharing.
Well, it just seems that kids aren't dying, which is good. I mean, certainly if there's anything good, it's that, because that would be the ultimate. I mean, I don't think anybody go to school. If of the 139,000 deaths, if 500 of them were young kids. I don't think anybody'd send their kid to school. There's a lawsuit filed, by the way, to close down face-to-face summer school classes in Detroit.
Yeah.
Now, why, if you don't want to send your kid, I mean, that's fine, but why do you insist that no one else can go to school?
No. Well, if you saw a lot of the protesters, a lot of them were teachers, and that's the other thing. Teachers have a very strong union. And not only that, but I really think it's more about the adults than the children.
But the adults, you know, adults work in restaurants. Adults do other essential things. And everybody has to do, I mean, unless we're all going to stay home.
I understand.
I don't understand
schools,
why is it more important.
Not, no, I don't want to go down there.
Why is it more important for a teacher to stay home than for other people to stay home? I don't see a big difference.
Well, schools aren't run for profit. We talked about this before.
It's doing what's right. You do what's right. You don't do it because, well, it's government, so we don't want to send kids to school. I mean,
yeah, they have more flexibility to err on the side of safety because they don't need to turn a profit.
But kids,
stupid
kids,
government.
But kids, if they're not in school and they're not learning as well and they're not socialized, I mean, there's a reason they go to school.
Oh. Without a doubt. No,
I mean, maybe there won't be. Maybe this will.
I don't want to homeschool for that very reason. I want the socialization. But do I want the socialization of masks and fear the whole time they're supposed to be learning? I don't know. It's a tough balance.
This is just step on the road to idiocracy. We're on our way there. It's happening.
Everyone should just take a gap year.
I've already discussed that Kanye West winning, he would be president. Camacho.
He already dropped out, though. Did you hear that?
He's back in. What? He's back in.
He filed
some paperwork. He has more to follow.
What?
Yes. But I just thought it'd be perfect if he was president. I liked President Camacho, by the way.
I did, too.
I thought he was cool. And I think Kanye would be kind of cool. A little erratic, but I think he'd be okay.
Joe Kennedy on Facebook Live said, send them all to factories, just like the good old days, kids. put them to work.
And the Chinese do that.
So while we're at it, let's send all the prisoners and make them march, like the Japanese do.
Just like the good
I don't even
old
know
days.
If that's true. I just saw it in Locked Up Abroad, and I've been stuck on it ever since. Make those prisoners march.
But here's the issue I have, is I have to make a determination whether I'm going to start paying for daycare enough just to hold my spot, or if I do send my child back to daycare. Now she's in a new class because she aged out of her old one, and her teachers will have masks and goggles and gloves. And is that going to be personable? It's like, is she going to be scared
kids get
shitless?
Kids get used to anything, don't they? They're kids.
Yeah, she'll be fine, I guess. I'll just throw her in there.
Anyway, I don't know why people want to sue to make school not happen. It seems like you can. I mean, nobody has said you have to teach, you have to go to school. If you have the option, then what? Why is it so upsetting if people do go to school?
Gee, I can't wait till I go to high school.
Did you read the story of the girl who didn't do the homework yet? That full story. It's really,
what story?
It's really fascinating.
I did not.
It's so much more than she didn't go to school and got thrown in juvie. It's so much more than that.
Well, I knew that, but
but people don't.
I didn't know how deep a dive I wanted to take, but I will. And
I think you should read it. It's pretty good. It'll make you mad.
I still have the Quibi story upstairs. I want to read that one so bad. That's a long story.
That's so last week.
I'm fascinated by Quibi. So here we go. Let's see. Do you guys want to watch the interview with Trump's niece?
I didn't see it.
I don't know much about her. Yeah.
I didn't get to see it. She has a big rack.
She does have a big rack.
Really?
I'll give you a spoiler
alert. That's what Donald said. He said she's stacked.
That's right.
What happened was, I don't know what I was expecting, but I just thought, oh, this ought to be, you know, this ought to be something I want to see. You know, it's a book. Everybody's talking about it. It's getting a ton of publicity, and I know she's going to be doing interviews everywhere soon.
Oh, boy.
So I just thought, well, I'll watch the first interview. And about 30 seconds in, I realized that, oh, yeah, she's a Trump. She is a Trump. And
not looking too good.
So she's right about everything?
She thinks she is. But, you know, I don't want to see Eric Trump interviewed. I don't want to see Donald Trump Jr. interviewed.
That's
really.
How is Stephanopoulos in this?
Stephanopoulos, well, to be honest, Stephanopoulos.
Un-American.
There's a really interesting thing that happens in this interview. In my opinion, her story has been blown up a bit. I mean, what's the biggest thing you hear about the most?
SAT bullshit.
He cheated on his SATs. Well, there's a guy named Joe Shriver who knew Donald Trump around this time. He was married to Pam Shriver, the tennis professional tennis player, very good tennis player. Pam Shriver came out immediately and said, baloney, my husband did not cheat for Donald Trump. And she didn't really say a lot more, but...
Well, no, she did. She also said...
I like play tennis, but I'm not good at it.
That's her.
His name is Joe Shapiro.
Shapiro, I'm sorry. Yeah, I guess I want him to be named Shriver since Pam Shriver's named Shriver. Wait, is it
total stoner, high as a kite, every tennis match.
Is it Pam Shapiro? Cupped? Is it Pam Shapiro?
I have no
Pam
idea.
Shriver? It is Pam Shriver,
it's
yes.
Pam Shriver.
Yeah. I don't
make a
know
name, if, couple.
I don't know if she's related to Marie.
Does he know that she's married to Arnold Schwarzenegger?
I feel like I'm turning to fucking Biden. I need to be correcting every 5 seconds. I think Disney's open and it's downtown Disney.
Yeah, but that was
still confusing.
Confused
on that. None of us.
I know, but it was a
nobody
Disney thing. I just was what I was trying to say is a fucking Disney thing is open. And it's crowded and anyway. And there were characters there, so it has to be a little Disney.
Gross.
So anyway, okay, Pam Shriver says no. And I don't think, I think what was sort of lurking underneath was he didn't like Donald Trump when he Donald Trump. She didn't say that. She just was very clear that no. He did absolutely nothing of the sort. She may have been saying just that he's a really stand-up guy and he wouldn't do that kind of crap, but
very
I don't know.
Good,
she
right
just pretty much said no. So anyway, this may have been a surprise to Trump's niece because
Aaron.
What's that?
Mary.
Trump. Yeah, I think this might have surprised her because not only did Pam Shriver say it didn't happen, but a little bit of homework over a couple days by some journalists and some other people, and we find out that Trump didn't know Joe Shapiro until he was already at Penn. Mm. So how could he have cheated for him on the SAT to go
no
to
way
Penn? Right?
Ridiculous.
Sure. No, nobody's with me on this?
Oh, yes.
No, sure. Yeah.
I mean, that's sort of what I thought, oh, well, that's that story's kind of gone because it's been determined that he did not know him when he would have taken the SAT. He met him at Penn. He was transferring from Fordham to Penn. By the way, I don't know why you have to take an SAT after you've been at Fordham for a couple years to go to Penn.
Why does any of that matter?
It doesn't. It doesn't. But
is it to prove that he's a liar? Because I think most people understand that he lies about stuff.
Horrible.
Well, I think
it doesn't matter.
I don't think it matters either. And if Joe Shapiro walked out of his grave, dug himself up, you know, just came out with dirt all over his face and said, I did take the SAT for that asshole. If he did do
that, I would really question
see that.
Why that would be the first thing he would say if he came out of the grave.
I don't think it would change anything. But
I don't think so.
I think the reason that everyone's talking about it is because, you know, Trump calls himself a stable genius and he says he's got a high IQ.
He's got the best
and then
words.
If he had someone take the SAT for him, it would kind of say that, oh, really? You don't really think you're that smart, do you? Because you wouldn't even take the SAT for yourself. So
that reminds me about him being so smart and braggadocious. Did you see
the interview? He is so smart.
The interview
S-M-R-T
with what's the guy's name? Hannity, when he had the interview last week about his cognitive test that he took at Walter Reed, and the doctors were amazed.
Oh, wait,
amazed.
Trump took a cognitive test?
Oh, yeah. God, it's a great piece of
well,
audio.
Biden takes them all the time, he said.
Biden, yeah.
Yeah, Joe Biden. Yeah.
He's,
but I didn't
he
know
said
Trump,
of Biden, right?
I didn't know Trump had taken a cognitive test.
Yeah, how do you think he did,
and he
by
said
the
he
way
aced it.
I'm going to guess he said he was the middle of the class.
No,
average?
Yeah, right. No, Trudy's right. He said he
aced it. Oh, boy.
He aced it.
Let's see if I can find it. But there's something else he said about it that, let's see if I can find
it. Feel a drop coming.
No. I'm being dead serious.
And do you think he's trying to back out of debating you?
Here you go.
Well, yeah, the answer is yes, absolutely. But, you know, he meant the COVID tests. The COVID test. He didn't mean cognitive. He meant COVID.
No, he said cognitive. I'm pretty sure he
didn't mean that because, you know, you don't have those tests that often. He said, I take them all the time. And no, he meant COVID, but I think he was confused by the question and the words and everything else. He didn't mean that because he hasn't taken any cognitive tests because he couldn't pass one. I actually took one when I was, you know, the radical left was saying, is he all there? Is he all there? And I proved I was all there because I aced it. I aced the test. And he should take the same exact test.
Joe
the very
Shapiro
standard
took
test. I took it at Walter
right
Reed Medical Center. in front of doctors, and they were very surprised. They said, that's an unbelievable thing. Rarely does anybody do what you just did. But he should take that same test.
Do doctors really say, this is an unbelievable thing you just did here. Rarely does anybody do that. It just sounds so silly.
The thing about Trump is, I can imagine people wanting to kiss his ass, because I think it would work.
Doctors at Walter Reed, though? Why would they have to?
No, they wouldn't. But I'm just saying, if they wanted to be in the president's good graces, maybe they want to take a picture with him, or they want their daughter to get a card from him or something. It seems like if you're a doctor, oh, my God, nobody's ever scored high. Oh, my, Mr. President, you're fabulous. By the way, could you sign this for my daughter? Trump seems like he would be very open to flattery and the effects of flattery. I mean, most people are.
I don't know if I'd really want that doctor to work on me. If he's
but a lot of people want things. There was a doctor, by the way, who George Harrison's widow sued because he was making him sign something on his deathbed.
Ah, oh, Jesus Christ.
Sounded really bad. Brilliant. But I mean, doctors are human beings.
Are you a Beatles fan?
My point is that doctors are human beings. There's not... It doesn't mean they're a bad doctor. I mean, just because they're starstruck.
Does anyone know what a cognitive test is, though? What is the content of a cognitive test?
Well, I could explain the test my mom took for dementia, where we went to... let me come back to that. It's an interesting test.
It's fairly short, right?
It was very brief. But first, things are getting wild. Wild!
Where?
It's not Ford and Holly. And yes, we're talking the all-new Ford Bronco. I would like to hear one drop in every commercial, by the way. I think it might keep people through the commercials more if we had at least one, just one drop. The time has finally come, and is this the one where you can't
first year? Okay, bye.
go to ZodFord.com, follow the link to order your new Bronco Sport or full-size Bronco two-door or four-door. The hype is enormous in the Bronco. That's a good way to get around it. And the Broncos will sell out before you know it. People are pumped about the Bronco. Plus, Zot's still offering the Ford Promise. Buy or lease a new or pre-loved vehicle. And if you get canceled in your first year of ownership, Ford will take your vehicle back. Period.
Rookie.
Okay, cool.
Whoa.
Finally, this team at Zot Ford continues to have deals, deals, deals. The lease trifecta is back. Lease a new 2020 Ford EcoSport or a new 2020 Ford Escape all-wheel drive or a new 2020 Ford F-150 Super Crew XLT 4x4. Your choice of the three, each one is as low as $166 a month.
Yes, you can make that much money in 5 seconds.
Zot Ford's trifecta gives you a choice of three brand new Fords for just $166 a month. Surf their deals and deals in the D.com.
Can I try it really quick?
David Hall sponsors the Hall Financial Hotline.
And okay, bye.
Every time we discuss this topic, it seems that interest rates are lower than the time before, as a lot of people are managing to qualify for 2.5%. That's really low.
Really? 2.5?
2.5. You got to qualify for it, but it's certainly worth calling Hall Financial.
I'm calling them now.
Just call. And by the way, what I understand is they want to know your interest rate, your term, and how much you owe. If you can give them something in the ballpark of those three things, they can probably quickly tell you if they can help you. If you haven't refinanced in the last year, they believe they can help you. And also, you might be able to skip up to two payments. So, hey, it's pretty cool. I mean, lower your payment and skip a couple. Why not? Hall Financial Services is the fastest. 19 days on the average. That's why they have nearly 1,500 five-star reviews from Michigan homeowners. Go to davidallmortgage.com/Drew and Mike or go to our website, click the link, fill out the form, or call 248-308-5000 for Hall Financial. Lower payments, better options, more personal attention. NMLS number 1467435. So, my mom's test. Mm-hmm.
Was it questions?
This is weird. Pictures? They sent her to... This is when she was at Fox Run. And she had a doctor there. And she said, well, why don't you go see Dr. So-and-so and have a test for, it was really dementia, because she had dementia and she was pretty adamant that she didn't, and she didn't want people telling her she had dementia, which is probably not terribly uncommon.
Oh my God.
I know. She was 95, 90, she was 96 at the time, I think. So we went to the doctor, and the doctor said, the doctor talked to her for about 10 minutes. He was really cool. And he asked me a few questions and we just kind of chatted for a while. And then he said, okay, I'm going to mention five things, and then we're going to have a little conversation, and when we're done talking, I want you to tell me what those five things are. And it was like,
my God, I don't know if I could do that.
Apple, the sky, pen, coffee, microphone. Mm-hmm. And then starts talking.
Anyone can even know that.
And probably talked for about 90 seconds. And I said, okay, do you remember the five things? My mom's like, oh, wait, what? Huh? Oh, she didn't really remember that she was supposed to remember anything. But at the time, she was really pumped to remember it. And I started going, But it was.
Apple pen. Yeah.
So then he gave her another chance. And that time, she did remember that she was supposed to remember five things. And she was like throwing stuff out. I think maybe she got might have got one out of five.
Oh, that's sad.
I know, it was a bummer. I mean, I knew that was going to happen, but and it didn't stop her from saying that she wasn't. She didn't dementia. What are you going to do?
So that's what Trump aced.
Yeah, I guess Trump aced that. I guess he remembered all five things, but he probably aced. Wrote them down.
No one's ever seen him do that. Probably wrote them down. How insanely
what would they made the five things that they wanted him to remember, like the media,
Hunter Biden,
Sleepy Joe,
yeah,
Cheetos,
Law and Order, Silent Majority, his, all caps.
Uh-huh. His hair was a little bit silver yesterday.
Oh, in the CBS interview?
They had pictures of him, and then today the silver was gone.
Whoa.
No, but it was like they dyed it 2 days in a row like he didn't like
Thank
it.
You.
They're trying to make him look more distinguished, and he didn't like it. So they must have gone back. I mean, that's what it seemed like. Anyway, Mary Trump, pay special attention
Mary
to
Trump, yeah.
Nancy, as I call her.
Joe Shapiro, who, again, as I told you, it turns out he didn't meet Trump till Penn, so I don't know about that. Let's see what she says.
Well, I got to queue it up. Goodbye, Facebook.
Bye.
Okay, bye.
So I don't want to get booted off. Where was it at on here?
It was at 7:00. It was like 7 o'clock on the button, like first thing right out of the gate. I mean, they just leaped right into this. This must be a big deal because they whammo. It was like Smollett when he was on for part two. Oh yeah, they didn't have part two. It was only part one.
Where is that part two?
When is part two coming?
Oh, and she has it so hidden away, Robin Roberts.
Oh, shit. Mary Trump.
You're right. It was filled, wasn't it? It was filmed.
Yes. Absolutely. They had teases. They had a promo with clips in it. She is so in love with herself. She is so, I mean, she really wants to tell us why this is so important.
Oh, Mary Trump?
Yeah. I would think you just say, look, this is what I know about him. I'm in his family. But no, she's got to, of course, make it something larger.
Yeah. Which, she's honestly, really important. I don't know what she can say now that would make anybody care.
Niece Mary Trump.
Not much.
She has just published a scathing new memoir of her uncle and her family who went to court to block the book and prevent Mary Trump from doing any interviews. I sat down with her after a judge ruled that Mary could not be stopped from speaking out. Her book is a deep dive into her past with the Trump family.
She does have big
Mary is
like,
very focused on like what the country should do right now.
Stacked.
What's the single most important thing you think the country needs to know about your uncle?
He's utterly incapable of leading this country. And it's dangerous to allow him to do so.
Based on what you see now or what you saw then?
All a lie.
Based on what I've seen my entire adult life.
What do you want to happen now?
This country is on a precipice. And we have a decision to make.
Listen to yourself.
In the
next
future about who we want to be. And where we want to go as a country.
Get ready, Dreamweaver.
It's hard for me to process just how many awful things are going on simultaneously on a daily basis. And people need to know. People need as much information as is available.
Yeah, I don't know anything about the guy.
In order to make a decision that makes
She's
sense.
She's a world-class liar.
Our future. As a country, as Americans.
Oh my God, I'm tired now.
Citizens.
Too bad
of the
they never
world,
put him on TV or anything, so we could know this ourselves.
You'd be so bored.
In the book, at least one. Mm-hmm. And you write that when the president was trying to transfer from Fordham to Penn, he had someone else, a man named Joe Shapiro, take his SATs.
That's right.
Yes.
This was 1964. How do you know that?
I've been told this by people in my family.
Oh, okay.
I am absolutely confident that it's true.
Wrong.
I'm happy to finally to be able to speak about it. I also know that it was not the Joe Shapiro people have been focusing on.
Oh, really?
So to be clear, it's not Pam Shriver.
No.
Pam Shriver, Joe Shapiro, has come out publicly.
What is the chance that he knows a Joe Shapiro when he just got to Penn, and there's another Joe Shapiro at Fordham who took the SAT for him? I mean, isn't that a little iffy?
Yeah.
But I thought her answers.
Joe Shapiro's.
Her answer's very Trumpy, I would say. She says there's
believe me, she would not be my first choice, that I can tell.
Can't they check the rolls at Fordham and find out there's a Joe Shapiro in his class?
Yeah, why wouldn't they be able to?
It wouldn't be hard at all.
Do we know that guy went to the school, or was he just hanging around the university?
I gotta believe people that know him or were in his class would know, or his roommate or somebody would know who Joe Shapiro is or is not. Hmm. But it sounds like her story blew up when Pam Shriver came out.
And said, he didn't meet Donald Trump until Penn. There's no way this is true.
Yes, and I feel terrible that she's been subjected to this. Honestly, I wish I could have said something sooner. And
that is so fake.
I think the only people other than me who can address it are other people in my family, and I look forward to hearing their response.
Where's this Joe Shapiro?
To that question.
How do you know it's true?
I trust my sources.
Is Joe Shapiro still alive?
That I don't know.
Stand up, Joe. It's a good job.
I have no idea.
Have you ever met Joe Shapiro?
I have not.
So who is he? You believe in your sources.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome to the world, Joe.
They were alive at the time.
They were alive at the time.
They have firsthand knowledge of this.
That's a good start.
And you believe other members of your family also know this is true?
Yes.
White House says it's an absurd falsehood.
Of course. They would.
Can you prove it's true?
No. Can I prove? No. Because
why? Why is this the main topic? George Stephanopoulos
because
is going
It makes Trump sound like an idiot, like he's too dumb to take the SATs.
Is this the best thing in the book?
I think the media liked it immediately. It just sounded so. It makes him sound like, you know, he was a scumbag then, scumbag now. I mean, I think that's what a lot of people who are looking to find something in the book that's new.
That's right.
But wouldn't the whole thing about her walking around in a bathing suit at Mar-a-Lago and he says, hey, you're really stacked, wouldn't that be a better? I mean, wouldn't that?
Well, we know he would say that.
But we know he would lie about something, too. And he graduated from school, so who cares?
The thing about the SAT, though, was that he would get an advantageous opportunity to go to Wharton Business School.
Right. Yeah, so he didn't earn his way into the college, and it's more a privilege
still graduated
from being a Trump. Well,
you know, I went to the Wharton School of Finance.
I don't know.
Okay. All right, let's see what else is this.
Not looking too good.
She sounds like a dope.
I'm counting on people I trust who told me this story. So in terms of documentation, no, I can't prove it. But
that is locker room talk.
Certainly. Say with 100% certainty.
Nice vetting in the book, by the way.
I was told the story by a
she
source.
Say 100% that she was told the story.
Oh, boring. Boring.
Night of my life.
One of them. Yeah.
One of the worst nights of my life.
Then
why
election.
Go to the White House in April 2017?
Yeah. Stop it.
I had been on the outside of this family for a really long time.
Wait, I thought you knew everything about them, though.
And after my cousin Ivanka's wedding, which for reasons I still don't understand, I was invited to. My aunt Marianne and I started.
Pause for a second.
Talking.
She doesn't understand why she was invited. Is she saying that, wow, my uncle's really gracious? And I mean, we really hate each other, but he's so gracious he invited me. I mean, isn't that kind of weird?
It's a weird thing.
Doesn't make sense.
I take it as she's not that tight with him. Why the hell was she invited? Which also hurts all her other arguments. But.
Yeah, and she says we hadn't talked in years. Well, I thought you were the expert on him. So, I don't know. She's not doing too well here, I don't think.
Like, anyone can even know that.
And we developed a relationship which we'd never had before, quite honestly.
Boring! Boring!
You did not!
You know, it was the first time I'd felt part of the family. I was a kid. And somehow it was very easy for me to put aside all of the things that had happened previous to that. when I got invited to her birthday party, I felt
she
that
talks
I should.
So slow.
What you got invited
you go,
to her
you
birthday
see the president
party.
In the Oval Office.
I don't think she likes him.
And you tell him, "Don't let them get you down." Did you mean that?
Stupid question.
Actually, that was 4 months in.
Is she trying to do some explaining here?
He already seemed
I don't
very.
Know what she's doing, man. It's really not helping
like
sell books.
Straining to do some explaining.
By the pressures,
I think I'll just end
mean,
the interview here and
keep
say,
doing what you're
"I don't
doing
think
and
you
get
know
away
shit."
With it, but
back to you, Robin.
And also,
that's right.
So much of what has happened since then hadn't yet happened, and I thought his response was actually more enlightening than. And he said, "They won't get me."
Ooh, wow.
And so far.
What do you mean by that?
That's pretty
looks
good.
Looks like he's right.
What a
and
disclosure.
If you're in the Oval Office today, what would you say to him?
Resign.
Blunt as she could be right
That's
there.
It?
There's a part two.
Who was that? I don't know. I don't know.
I don't know why. I kind of want to watch part two. Does anybody else want to watch it?
Yeah.
Not after this.
Only if she talks faster.
Isn't it kind of funny when a total dope gets on the national stage? I don't think this is good for Trump either because she shares genes with him and she seems like a dope.
Nobody thinks about that.
Well, yeah, they do.
Do they really?
I think so. Well, when Hunter Biden, when you read about what a dope he is, I thought that just doesn't, it just doesn't feel
there's
good.
There's nothing
Fred,
new
Fred
here.
Fred Trump or Fred Biden, whatever, Frank Biden, that guy sound like a dope too.
Oh, yeah.
It's just not. I mean, you want people in your family to be.
And his daughter.
You know, like if you meet a girl, I'm you know, not saying right now, but and she's got like her mom's really huge or something.
Yeah.
And I just think people a lot of times go.
Bye bye.
That's my wife in 30 years.
I was more impressed with you when I found out your brother was a doctor.
Oh, thank you. You should have been.
Oh.
Huh. I like telling people my brother's a doctor. I think it elevates me.
Yeah.
Doctor by proxy.
I have the genetic ability to be a doctor, apparently.
That's right.
The new memoir, Too Much and Never Enough, How My Family Created the World's Most Dangerous Man. Mary Trump had to fight in court for the right to publish her portrait of what she calls a malignantly dysfunctional family.
I wonder how much money she got. Anybody know?
President Trump's extremely wealthy.
Where did these people come from?
It all begins with
your How many drops work for this?
Absolutely.
All of them.
Absolutely.
You say he's a sociopath.
Yes.
What do you mean by that?
He had no empathy. He was incredibly driven in a way
invited her birthday party.
That turned other people, including his children, his wife, into pawns.
Stop
to be
it.
Used to his own ends. If somebody could be of service to him, then he would use them. If they couldn't be, he excised them. And in my father's case, tragically, he was not of use.
You write, Donald following the lead of my grandfather and with the complicity, silence, and inaction of his siblings destroyed my father.
Yeah, that was hard to write. Much harder to witness.
You say that was a hard sentence to write. I left out the next sentence.
Oh, God.
Okay.
I can't let him destroy my country.
Yes.
Wow, that's really powerful.
Pretty arrogant. So let me explain what I mean.
No, please
don't. I feel as I write in the book.
So she wrote the book to help all of us. Because we don't really know this guy. We don't see him much.
In which my family operated. And
he seems to not avoid controversy at every turn.
I saw firsthand. Focusing on the wrong things. Elevating the wrong people can do the collateral damage that can be created.
Hey, what does she do for a living? Do we know?
She's a psychologist.
Yeah.
She is?
I know. I was shocked myself.
That woman is a psychologist?
Yeah.
Who took her SAT?
I had heard that, and then I saw this interview, and then I was like, what does she do anyway? Like, I'd completely forgotten. Because it just didn't compute. And I was like, oh, yeah, she's a psychologist.
Had the entire truth 4 years ago.
Why didn't you write the book 4 years ago?
I thought long and hard.
Stupid
about
question.
Saying something.
She couldn't put the anecdotes about visiting him in the Oval Office.
Been painted as a disgruntled, disinherited niece.
She's not disinherited, by the way. She inherited a lot of money.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Obviously, it's still being
said. She has a $2 million townhouse.
Exactly what the White House says. They say it's a book of falsehoods.
So
you're writing out of financial self-interest.
Oh,
basically,
yeah, that's right.
You're lying for money.
If I had wanted money or revenge, I would have done this 10 years ago when it was infinitely safer. But neither one of those things interested me.
Let me guess, she's getting death threats.
You do write that he once had a spark of kindness.
Yeah. I think he did. One of the unforgivable things my grandfather did to Donald was he severely restricted the range of human emotion that was acceptable.
Boring! Boring!
Which makes it incredibly...
What does that mean?
It means that certain feelings were not allowed.
I think she's used to talking slowly because her appointments...
No energy!
She earns money by the hour.
Great!
She's got a Dr. Phil-like pace.
Yeah, and Dr. Phil is also a psychologist, right?
That's right.
She's a world-class liar.
Got very ill, deathly ill, and you get a phone call from your grandfather.
I remember that conversation verbatim. My grandfather got on the phone.
Huh.
He said, "Your dad's sick." Oh, is it serious? Oh, he's in the hospital,
horrible.
But it's not serious. Uh-huh. Okay.
It's her dad.
But,
you know, why am I calling you?
Her
it's
dad's the drunk,
Saturday
right?
night if it's not serious.
Yeah.
I was thinking to myself. So I said, "Well, is it his heart?" Because he had had open heart surgery 3 years earlier.
Just tell the fucking story. God,
not looking
and
too good.
He said, "Yes, it's his heart." And I said, "Well, then it is serious. Yes, it's serious, but don't worry about it. Call
Everybody's
your mother
still
in the morning." And as I found out 2 minutes later, when I called my mother to find out what was going on, my father had died 2 hours earlier.
Oh, man.
More or less alone.
Thanks for including
completely
all of
alone.
That.
Yeah.
Obviously with strangers surrounding him, but no family.
You write that his brother went to the movies?
Yes.
Okay, pause for a second.
Yeah.
Shouldn't his parents have been there?
Yeah.
So why is it all Trump's fault? I mean, if his parents weren't there, then that says, well, our parents weren't there. Then Trump probably thought, well, fuck, this movie's great. I don't want to.
What does it
matter? Probably make it.
What does it matter anyway? I mean, were you that surprised that the guy lacks empathy in her mind?
Well, I don't know
not
why
NBC.
She's not.
I like ABC a little bit more, not much. Come on, ABC. Oh.
Seems like she'd be pissing on her grandparents for not going to see their son.
Yeah. Yeah, good point.
And saying it's not serious. But she likes including a lot of data.
Where was her aunt? Where was her aunt?
I don't know. His wife, you mean?
Well, no. I thought there was another. Isn't there a sister?
Well, she has a mother. Her father. I mean, yeah. She has a mother and a father. Sure. If there's all strangers, then her mom's not there.
Yeah, but she writes about the judge, the aunt, the one that Roy Cohn got the job for.
Oh, okay.
Why wasn't she there?
And a woman that looks like that has to have her own special scent.
Okay, because the interview's been terrible. It's probably going to really pick up here, so let's see what
sure,
else she has to say.
Yeah. Oh,
you
God,
know, it was really? Bad enough.
No opportunity cost here.
It was
here.
Probably worse, honestly, that my dad's parents just sat in the library in the house there waiting for a phone call. I
there's
will never
answer.
Know why they didn't go to the hospital to be with their son who
maybe
was
they
clearly
like
dying. So maybe it isn't surprising.
Maybe your dad was a dick.
That Donald didn't think he needed to be there. Maybe that would have looked bad to his father.
To be there?
And maybe sitting around waiting for the phone call was too burdensome.
That's a good excuse. Know. That's the only excuse we'd accept.
You know, I've often wondered what movie did he go to see?
We already figured that out.
That seemed more compelling than...
Nice research, by the way. Brandon figured it out in 5 minutes.
What was it?
But
it was one of four movies, including Evil Dead.
Oh, okay.
Let's get Gone with the Wind. Can we get my Gone with the Wind back, please?
Then Fred Trump dies, and you have the impasse.
Why is George being sucked into her pace?
I just want to clarify something. You say taking care
that is
of...
such a funny concept. He is going as slow as she is.
Sense in which that's true is no different from the sense in which it's true for anybody else in my family.
When it was all settled, when the lawsuit was done, did you think it was a fair settlement?
No. But
what lawsuit are they talking about? Did I miss something?
I don't know.
To understand in what way it wasn't fair.
I think we've probably gotten the best of this interview.
And at the time, again, it's a very long time ago. And
very good.
Thanks, Mary. Great job.
It was about the settlement over how much money she should get.
You must be the most boring woman on earth.
From her dad?
Freddie.
Oh, from the grandfather?
From her father.
Oh.
Remember, they her and her brother.
Wouldn't she, as his next of kin, wouldn't she get...
The grandfather's money, but by way of Freddie or something.
Oh, I see.
I inherited broken junk.
So whatever Fred inherited, then... Okay, I get it.
Yeah, broken junk.
Yeah, so they went to court and sued about that.
Oh, what a great book. Mm. Can't believe it's in its third printing run.
Is it really?
Yes.
No shit.
Yeah, it's sold a ton already.
Zach Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram, dealsnitty.com. Everybody's back. Even the customers are back, picking up those wheels. Everybody's pumped because we're getting through this thing, and they're socially distancing and masking up and doing all the things they're supposed to do. And they get a vehicle to you without you ever leaving your house. And do it over the phone. You can Zoom and make all these discussions happen. Go to dealsnitty.com. But during Zach Chrysler Jeep's Rams Drive Forward event. During Zach Chrysler Jeep Dodge Rams Drive Forward event. Feel free to go online to enjoy their enhanced online shopping. Check out their deals like the 2020 Ram Quad Cab Bighorn for only $180 a month.
Very good.
Or if Jeeps are what you dig, check out a new 2020 loaded Jeep Compass. It's just $155 a month. There's always the new 2020 Jeep Grand Cherokee as low as $247 a month. And, of course, the Wrangler. Right now, Zot's employee pricing for everyone, 0% financing and $1,500 in rebates if you want a new Jeep Wrangler right now. Get over there, dealsnitty.com, check out the site, look at your options, and head over to Zot Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram.
Okay, bye.
And if you're a man facing divorce or custody issues or property issues or all those issues, call Adam. For nearly 30 years, Adam has been helping men just like you protect your rights and get the fair treatment in the court system that you deserve. Don't take a chance with your future. Go with the best. Adam is a knowledgeable, aggressive, experienced attorneys that you want. Call Adam at 248-356-2326. That's 248-356-ADAM.
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah, I got to find this story. This story just came across.
Breaking news?
Con artist on Wednesday apparently hacked into the Twitter accounts of tech moguls, politicians, and major companies in a Bitcoin scam.
Oh!
The ruse included bogus tweets from Barack Obama, Joe Biden, Michael Bloomberg, and a number of tech billionaires, including Bezos, Bill Gates, and Elon Musk.
All right.
The fake tweets offered to send $2,000 for every $1,000 sent to a Bitcoin address. Which, by the way, who would fall for that?
A few people.
Really?
I think so.
They're going to think Elon Musk is handing out.
Well, if it's in Obama's account, you're going to think it's real.
The fake tweets were quickly deleted. Although the AP got screenshots of them, so.
Wow.
That's pretty crazy, man.
That is pretty wild.
How'd they get in there?
That's the thing is people. That's what worries people about Donald Trump and his Twitter is people think that he can get hacked and then before you know it, send something out that goes a little crazy and not just a scam.
Nice job, Twitter. I'm not a Twitter fan, I gotta say.
You don't like the Twitter world?
I really don't. It seems, I don't like social media in general, but look at the headaches it's causing. I mean, what does social media, I'm trying to remember, what's the good part?
We can all stay connected.
Oh, yeah.
Funny videos of cats.
Funny cats.
Yeah.
Come on. It has a greater net gain of good things than it does negative.
Social media?
No, it used to be like a great, amazing way to stay in touch with each other. It just got sick and bitchy.
It is really.
I meant
the internet. Turned on everyone.
Well, no, I'm just talking about social media. I'm not talking about the internet.
I still think it has a net gain.
I don't remember it being
social
this toxic
media?
Depending
in the
on who
MySpace
you are.
Days.
or Friendster.
I suppose for some people it might be great, but I don't know. I just see... It just looks like a mob to me. The mob on Twitter gets the most impact, and I don't think it's earned, and I think it's crazy.
Things,
oh, yeah, it's funny. I mean, it's amusing, I suppose, when you're not the person who's getting wailed on.
Well, maybe we just see it differently.
Twitter?
Yeah.
I don't know. What do you like about it?
Oh, I don't know. I like seeing tweets from certain people, I suppose. You can get news really quick on it, which is good.
No, I like those things. That's true.
I like watching other people Twitter fight.
No, that's kind of fun.
Watching people pile on Chrissy Teigen. Did you see what she did today?
That Chrissy Teigen story is just amazing. It's just the irony of her feeling so picked on and this stuff is not real.
The news story is about how she has blocked. How many people do you think she's blocked on Twitter? Or bots or whoever it is?
Let's see. 3,000.
3,000. You guys have a guess, Trudy or Brandon?
I know what it is, and it's a massive number. Trudy. And it has, she needs to have a staff to get this number even completed.
10,000?
1 million.
That's what?
That's what she says. She says, I've blockchained over, which that's not what blockchain means, but she wrote, I have blockchained over 1 million people. 1 million people
that's
today.
That's what she said.
And I'm still flooded with sick psychopaths, so please spare me the just ignore them. They're trolls. Anyhow, I'll do my best to stop entertaining them. They've definitely been living for this and have zeroed in only on me.
Bullies. Time to write her damn cookbooks really? And take care of her children.
Ghostwriters? She stole them from that one
Oh, that's right.
Lady.
Does she really think people are going to feel sorry for her?
Yes. Yes.
Really? The person who has exercised so much judgment on so many people.
Yes. Yeah, she does.
That's funny. Well, and fortunately for her, she's perfect, so she's never done anything wrong. And she's a victim now.
How do you block a
She's million? Occupying the glorified victim position, yeah. Which is a good place to be.
Moron.
I do have a question, though. I'm not saying she's a pedophile or that she's part of Pizzagate or anything like that, but why exactly did she have to delete 60,000 tweets?
They're mean to her.
No, 60,000, her tweets.
Yeah,
because she deleted 60,000 of her own tweets.
Because remember, they were about pizza and young kids and stuff. So
60,000 tweets on pizza and young kids.
Yeah, she's part of she's covering her Pizzagate tracks.
It's got to be some other stuff. There's got to be more.
Well, they're all out there.
I mean, people were grabbing tweets about, you know, little girls and stuff like that. But to delete 60,000 tweets, or was that just a mass deletion? Like, oh, God, I don't want people finding my old stuff.
Here's her words, because Fowler's pointed out she deleted 60,000 previous tweets. She exploded. I actually did 60,000 tweets because I cannot fucking stand idiots anymore, and I'm worried for my family. Finding me talking about toddlers and tiaras in 2013 and thinking you're some kind of fucking operative. She must have tweeted about toddlers and tiaras a ton.
There were quite a few screen grabs. And the way they were, some of them weren't terribly carefully stated, I don't think.
Yeah.
But
who would have thought in 2012 when you're tweeting about a stupid TV show, Toddlers and Tiaras, that you're going to be linked to Jeffrey Epstein and Pizzagate 8 years later?
Well, she shouldn't have flown on Lolita One with him.
Is that true? Did she?
I don't know.
Because that
no
list
idea.
That keeps getting shared, if that's true, there's some ridiculous names that have some explaining to do because there's a million different actors on there from Ben Affleck to Madonna. And it's like, wait a minute. I haven't heard of all these people going on Lolita One.
Isn't the funny part of this that they got to her? Isn't that really what's amusing about this?
Here's one she wrote. Accidentally went to the children's aquarium looking pretty pedo bearish cruising the parking lot.
Clever.
I'm about to Anthony Weiner this kid was another text she had.
I haven't heard about the pedo baron forever.
That's probably not a good tweet.
Well,
the
but it's
has had a back has taken a back seat to all this.
They're so out of context though.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, you say Anthony Weiner someone. I mean, how many things can you think of?
Well, if it was she said Carlos Danger, there's only one. I mean, I don't know.
Are you more than 7 inches?
Is anybody?
Will you maintain your hot streak and smooth sexy cat?
I really don't know what she meant. I'm about to Anthony Weiner this kid. I don't understand what that means.
Are you fully erect?
You can only think sexual things. Really? Anthony Weiner, what? I'm going to campaign for the
I don't know.
House?
I have no idea.
This kid?
Will you help to support Arnold's love child?
Anybody surprised that Dancing with the Stars blew out Tom Bergeron and Aaron Anders?
A little bit.
No.
Kind of.
Does he have some bad tweets or something?
No.
Not really.
Just wanted to change it up.
I was shocked at first because I thought Tom Bergeron is a pretty big staple of that show. He's kind of beloved. They do love him. And
no, he's very well liked. And the ratings are fantastic. They always have been. No?
No, that's where I got. I don't think the ratings are fantastic. In fact, they've been recently having their worst ratings ever.
Well, what's the worst ratings ever for Dancing with the Stars?
7.7 million.
Oh, that is bad.
Well, wait a second. Where's that? Doesn't that rank, though?
1.1.
I mean, wouldn't that be a top 20 show?
More than two to tangle or something like that.
Just doing a little bit of research, I saw that in the fall, there were a lot of discussions that were saying Dancing with the Stars better figure it out because they're
figure it out. They've been doing it for 15 years.
Right. Yeah, but they're going down, man.
Because there's only so much of that that's fresh and new.
Yeah,
and
I mean, it's like American Idol. They cannot draw
it's garbage.
7 million people themselves.
And they're down to D-list people, maybe even E or F lists.
And that's the thing. That's a huge thing is because I think earlier,
you get the right people on there.
Tom Bergeron had said that he's sick and tired of having kind of political people. And I think he meant like the Sean Spicers and, you know, the ones that caused controversy. But at the same time, Sean Spicer's appearance on there got the president of the United States tweeting about the show. That's pretty good for ratings, isn't it?
You would think.
Oh, yeah.
So
definitely.
When it started, like, here's season one, they were sixth. They had 16.8 million. Season two, they were seventh. You go forward a little bit. You know, they're basically between three and seven overall, mid-teens in viewership, sometimes over 20 million. Like, 2011, they're doing really well. Then you get to...
That's a long time ago.
No, I know. That's I'm speeding up here.
In TV.
Eighth overall in 2015, 2016, 13 million, then 14th overall, then 22nd overall, then 35th overall, then last year 36th overall with 8 million. So
I wonder if they won their day part or their time slot.
Yeah, I mean it's really kind. Isn't it kind of hard to
judge
that?
They also run the show for 2 hours on two nights.
That's the other problem. Yeah,
I mean they if anyone drained that show, they did it to themselves. To go into the 15th year and go, oh, Tom Bergeron's a problem.
No, I know, you're right. Nuts. Yeah, but what else can they change about it?
Maybe Nick Cannon can host it. He's a down one job.
Oh, they already got the new host, and it's Tyra Banks.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
They could do one show a week instead of two shows. Mm. It seems obvious that they're looking for a diverse host. Maybe. Are they looking to be more diverse? I mean,
that show is not suffering from diversity.
Yeah, but people will say, hey, why do you have two white hosts?
I was thinking maybe they're looking for somebody more hipper, but Tyra's what, in her 40s?
Yeah, but she's pretty funny. She's a good host.
She's hot.
Yeah, I don't know.
She's funny. She's...
Yeah, she'll do okay. Yeah. Did they haven't announced who the second person is?
I don't know if they're going to have a second person.
Oh.
What?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure what direction they're going to take. I just know of Tyra.
So that's the other thing, because they just didn't renew his contract. Maybe Bergeron was making too much.
That's probably
that's
true.
Possible. Yeah.
Okay. He's cleaned house for 15 years.
But Tyra.
And there's people who are speculating that if Nick Cannon gets blown out of The Masked Singer, Tom Bergeron will replace him.
Stupid.
That's right.
That is the dumbest
thing. By the way, Fox has done nothing.
No,
Fox hates Jewish people?
Does he own that show or something?
Yes, he imported it. I think it was either him or Ken Jeong that, like, I think one of those two guys imported it, and so they get a bunch of rights to it.
They would have to cancel the show.
He's the executive producer.
Mm. Would it be a huge loss to TV if they did cancel that show?
It does really well in the ratings.
The answer is, of course not. Of course it would not be a big loss. But, getting a rating, good rated show that draws millions. I don't know what it draws, 10 million?
Oh, I think it does more than that. Let me see if I can find
Well, that's
it.
A great show. I mean,
but every new singing show does great for the first few years. And then
no, you're right. I would think, though, that what he said and his response is so wildly over beyond the pale that I'm stunned that we're even talking about this. Viacom.
By the way, real quick, season one, 11.5 million on average. Two and three was about 10. Oh, wait, let me see. Yeah, about 10.7 million, but it's third overall, both of those for 1849.
Well, what he says, and he's not coy about it at all.
No.
It is so anti-Semitic, it's just not even close. And it's also very derogatory towards white people. Now, I don't guess that gets people too worked up, but the fact is Viacom says, okay, we're severing ties. They just didn't even give him a chance. Mm-hmm. And they mentioned the fact that he didn't even apologize, and in fact, he did anything but apologize. He said that, hold on, Viacom, here's my list of demands, because I'm in charge. Mm-hmm. And said he demands full ownership of Wild and Out episodes, blah, 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 blah. And, I mean, it's not an apology at all.
No,
he said that I only speak the truth, and I want to...
That didn't work out well, did it? That didn't work out well at all, did it? Well,
so how in the world do you keep him... How do you keep that show on?
If you're a celebrity, and let's say you're friendly with Nick Cannon, do you just not say anything right now, or do you just jump out there and support him?
You jump out there and support him.
You mean like...
He's got a lot of support.
You mean Diddy, okay, who just tweeted, Nick Cannon, come home to Revolt TV, truly black-owned. We've got your back. Love you for what you've done for the culture. We are our people first, for us, by us. Let's go.
See, there you go. This is a big secret coming out now, and I don't think this is too good, because what Nick Cannon said, much like when DeSean Jackson said it, is what a lot of people believe.
Yeah.
And people have not been shy about saying, I agree with DeSean Jackson, I agree with Nick Cannon, and that essentially means that they don't think too much of Jewish people.
Did you see?
And it makes any preaching and lecturing they do about racism pretty hard to listen to.
Did you see Anthony's email?
Yes, I did.
Which, by the way, great subject line. Black dudes and Jews was the subject line. Anthony's black, by the way. He said, there's black Christians that think black people are, quote, God's chosen people from the Old Testament of the Bible. They claim that Jews we see today somehow trick the world to think that they are the chosen people and therefore eligible for all the promises of the Old Testament. Black people do see Jews as white people for the most part, except for these guys. This is a movement that has really picked up steam over the past few years. By the way, for the most part, these black Hebrews are not in line with Black Lives Matter. They believe it's a homosexual operation that wants black men in dresses.
Whoa.
And then he wrote, source, I'm a black guy with an ear to the street.
Who are they chosen by the way? I have to just
God.
Ask to make sure.
God chose them.
Right. Okay.
Well, I have to tell you, I guess I wasn't surprised after seeing the DeSean Jackson and Steven Jackson saying, he got nothing to apologize for. He's telling the truth.
God's like, don't drag me into this.
And you couldn't help but notice that all these NFL players and NBA players who tend to be very big social justice warriors themselves, silence.
Yep.
It wasn't like Drew Brees, who can't kneel for the national anthem because he has tears in his eyes when he sees the flag and hears the national anthem, and he's the biggest asshole that ever lived. But basically, putting down Jewish people, and putting down is putting it mildly, that's okay. That's the truth. So, therefore, it's okay.
And a wacky conspiracy theory, too.
And nobody says anything. It's just a lot of silence. And is DeSean Jackson...
I feel bad for DeSean Jackson because the last story's got no traction. That's where he made his new friend. Did you see his new friend?
No, I just heard he's going to a Holocaust museum.
His new friend, Edward Mossberg, invited him to visit Auschwitz. He's a 94-year-old survivor of a concentration camp. And he had a Zoom call with DeSean Jackson.
I'd like to see that Zoom call.
What you got?
I know. I think he asked him, like,
what?
And DeSean was like, I guess I'll come.
There's a picture of it. He can't go there right now. Everything's closed.
Oh, my God, this guy.
I know.
He looks 94, although he's dressed cool.
Oh, my God, I want to see him.
No, he's not dressed. He's dressed in the Auschwitz garb.
Drew thinks the Auschwitz
garb. Why is he wearing
garb?
I didn't mean to compliment the Auschwitz garb.
Well, you just did.
Why is he dressed in the Auschwitz garb?
Yeah, why?
To prove the point.
I thought he was just wearing a. I just thought that was his style. Sorry.
Well, does it really mean anything? No, I know you didn't. But just
Drew's like, hey, that's a pretty cool yellow patch.
It's just big stripes.
Look at that star.
Jumpsuits are hot right now. I just thought maybe a jumpsuit, possibly.
It does look like a jumpsuit, actually.
Well, to your defense, it is a black and white picture that's printed out, so you can't really tell too much on it.
But the point is, so is this okay with everybody? That we just keep getting lectured about how terrible certain things are, and that other things are just, you know. Jewish people, on the other hand, now we can broad brush Jewish people, and we can say this about certain groups of people, but not, you know.
I found a clip of the conversation. You want to hear it?
Sure.
And it looks like there's five people on the Zoom. I don't know. And they might be recording it off of their computer.
Okay. So now I was just, like I was telling Johnny, you know, the past few days, you know, it has been rough for me. And, you know, I just want to.
For me.
I was just going to say, what is Edward Mossberg going to say? Rough. You want to know what rough is?
That's exactly what I was thinking.
Just to, you know, let everybody know that I never intentionally, you know, had any hatred in my heart and never, you know, wanted to put the Jewish community.
Hatred in your heart. You want to know about hatred in the heart? You know, I mean, you're not going to beat anything this guy has suffered.
I want you to understand that so you know who you're dealing with, you know, and. It was a lot of Jewish people that.
My God,
you know,
Deshaun, let him talk.
Los Angeles, but I never really had a chance to learn about the Jewish community.
The guest.
But you have it. This is your chances now.
Oh, that's where it ended. They totally cut off the old man.
Wait, do you mean tell me somebody hacked into that?
I don't know. They just recorded it off their screen. They were involved in the Zoom call, so it must have been one of the five.
What if they had somebody hacked that with some bodacious porn?
Yeah.
And the 94-year-old got off.
That would be really inappropriate. I really want to see video of him and DeSean Jackson at Auschwitz touring around.
I want a forensic account to make sure he goes.
And then a picture of them at the bar later partying.
But as far as this being okay with everyone, which it seems to be, nothing, you know, the NFL and the NBA are really generally very noisy about this sort of thing. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar finally came out and said, guys, what's going on here? You don't seem to mind.
Great column, man. He's the best.
Yeah, and, Kareem. You know, a couple people have said this. Not many. But Kareem Abdul-Jabbar did. And... You know, he, understandably, I mean, we all watch Drew Brees, who didn't seem to have enough empathy for people wanting to take a knee. I mean, that's what he was accused of, was that he doesn't understand, he doesn't care. He just cries when he hears the anthem, doesn't think about anything else. And he should be thinking about what we stand for and the problems that we have. And Drew apologized profusely.
Oh, I'm sorry about that.
But then someone comes out and broad brushes an entire... a rather large group of people who have been victims, persecuted pretty badly, I would say. I mean, World War II is pretty good sampling of it.
Yeah,
the Holocaust.
And not just by Nazis either.
No, not at all.
For a time, yeah.
And then people are agreeing with him. I mean, what? And now P. Diddy, huh?
Yeah, apparently wants Nick Cannon.
So I guess that's okay because he's P. Diddy?
Yeah, and it's all black-owned, and I guess because Jews don't run it, maybe.
I see. So no one can stop it, is what he's saying. Those people that typically try to stop those things from happening can't do that.
Sure.
That's very interesting, isn't it? Nick Cannon, though, you know, I have to say this. Nick Cannon has appeared in places where I think he drew a very cross-sectional type of audience.
Like this show. We had him on.
Yeah.
We did.
Not that long ago.
And he was always very nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. I never noticed that he was anti-Semitic when he was on with us.
I don't know,
we weren't Jewish.
I can't figure out why does he want to get into this?
I don't know.
Maybe he needs to toughen up his too nice image.
No. Come on. He probably believes a lot of it. But then when you have Professor Griff on, who, you know, nobody really digs into that too much. The guy was kicked out of Public Enemy in 89 for being too extreme for Public Enemy.
Yeah.
So he has him on about this book. And maybe he's pandering even more to him. I don't know. You would think that until you see his non-apology and his list of demands. It's like, oh, no, Nick Cannon really does believe
this
stuff.
He absolutely
does. It
just
took Professor Griff to bring it out of him.
And now, you know, it seems that the secret is out.
It's Farrakhan, right? Isn't it all
it's,
about
yeah,
Farrakhan?
It's Louis Farrakhan. It is. And Louis Farrakhan's not okay. But
what is, where is Farrakhan in this whole thing? Why isn't he piped up?
Good question.
I think he's just old. I just don't think he comes out much.
He's old, but what keeps him from getting in front of a microphone or on Zoom like the 94-year-old dude and saying, hey, this is not cool. It's not what I meant to happen.
Would Louis Farrakhan say that?
He would double down on it.
Maybe he evolved.
I don't think so.
You don't think he evolved?
I can't say I know, but I'm not aware of that. Because a lot of these people are very... very into Louis Farrakhan and the teachings of Louis Farrakhan.
Fun fact, Louis Farrakhan does have a Twitter page with no blue check mark. I don't know why it makes
but,
me laugh.
You know, this is all very odd to me. And, you know, I keep using the term shields. It's certain people just seem to have shields. Nothing ever happens to them. They're Teflon, and it doesn't matter how far they take it. And, you know, a pretty good example was the Covington kids when that story was... You know, it was edited up and it was made for clickbait and everyone bought it. In fact, today after the New York Times editor was speaking out about her experience with the opinion page, there was a lot being written about the New York Times. And among them was they were talking about Covington and how they really went full hook, line and sinker into that unvetted report. That was one of many things, actually, that were examples given. But in that Covington story, if you remember when, it seems there's more to the story because people watched the video, which, by the way, Brandon and I watched the whole thing on, that was a Sunday, wasn't it, Brandon?
Something like that.
There were long, long videos, which if you watched them, you could not have reported the story that way. It was about a, 40-minute video, maybe?
It was pretty long. Well, I want to say it might have been 45 minutes to 2 hours.
Yeah, well, it was longer than that, but, I mean, you could watch the first 35, 40 minutes, and you kind of could see what happened there, which was that these, what do they call the black Israelites, the something, Hebrew Israelites, the Hebrew Israelites, who have some very controversial views themselves, they had completely trolled these kids and were screaming at them. And there were some black kids from Covington in the crowd. Not a great deal of them, but they were calling them the N-word and sort of, I mean, it was a really ugly confrontation. Well, Brandon, you saw it. I don't know if anybody else saw that part of the video, but I mean, it was pretty brutal.
Everybody saw Sam in the video.
No, they saw him, you know, smirking and, you know, And that was the smirk heard around the world, but not. I think a lot of people never saw the Hebrew Israelites and what they were doing, which is, and it led to something so stupid. Because remember, one of the kids went to the teacher and said, "Can we do some cheers to drown them out?" And they stupid cheers. One guy had his shirt off, but when all was said and done and people were busy judging or unjudging or still judging or whatever they thought of Covington and Nicholas Sandman and no one, honest to God, no one was interested in talking to the Hebrew Israelites who started the whole thing. It was like, oh, okay, whatever. Nobody cared.
Yeah.
I never saw one person interview. I never saw one doxed.
Would they talk?
Well, they didn't get doxed.
Who are they?
Well, who is Nicholas Sammon? You mean to tell me you can dox a 16-year-old from a high school, but you can't dox a Hebrew Israelite? And they were not just any Hebrew Israelites, too. They were actually very very involved.
Oh, I don't know who they are.
I'm not saying I'm upset because they weren't doxed. It's just certainly notable that it all came down to two people, and when we saw the whole thing, it's like, oh, well, look who really was being horrific here. And it was these Hebrew Israelite guys, and nobody fucking cared.
Hey, Sandman, and then, by the way, just graduated, and he's going to college in the fall. Except he won't, I guess.
Where's he going?
Nowhere. He's going to be online learning somewhere.
He's going to be...
got a scholarship.
He's going to be Hogg's Harvard roommate.
Hogg would not room with Nicholas Sandman.
Maybe they'll start dating.
That'd be awesome.
So, you know, what is, I don't even know what to do with this when people suddenly start saying they agree with something. It's completely anti-Semitic. And some people, even the P. Diddy's of the world, jump and go, oh, yeah, this is cool, man. Come on over here. Well, we're not upset about it. We're with you.
This is a canceling that maybe most people are behind. You know, he's going to lose a lot of his gigs.
Well, not if he goes to work for P. Diddy. P. Diddy puts his stuff out.
Yeah, but
I never watched a P. Diddy production, though.
No one knows what that channel is.
I don't really know what P. Diddy, to be honest, I have no idea what he does. But well, he's not fired from Fox.
Yeah, I'm sure there's some people sweating it out right now.
You should see Nicholas Sandman's senior picture.
I looked it up, by the way. There's four people that are the executive producer of The Masked Singer. Why don't the other three get together and go, we got to get this Cannon guy out of here?
Well,
maybe
there's a lot of money at stake for them. So they're hoping it goes away.
But I mean, get rid of him. And then those three are the executive producers. They'll have to buy him out to some point.
I don't know. I'm just honestly, Viacom was pretty swift. And all anyone was saying upon that was, well, is The Masked Singer still on? You know, some people were fans.
Show. Well, it's a big
show. I know it is a big show.
Very successful
Viacom was fast, though, because they had Moonves and Charlie Rose in their rear view mirrors, and they needed to act quickly. So,
well, I think Fox has a couple.
Nah.
They've had a few wrinkles.
Nah.
Okay, well, whatever.
Did you see Michael's kids on TV by any chance, Drew?
Trudy, I did see them, and I can't recall what they were. What were they on? Where'd you see
because
them?
Well, they're starting their new careers. Actually, it seemed like it was all about her, and he was just the load
he's
on
a
the
fan.
Side.
Yeah, he's kind of heavy, isn't he?
Prince or Blanket?
Prince.
I love you.
Prince, Trudy, I didn't recognize Prince. He looked distorted
really?
By the extra weight.
All right, where is he? I want to see this.
He's gotten kind of big.
What's it
but
on?
He's got the Rowe jeans. He's got the Debbie Rowe jeans.
The Arnie Klein
Both
jeans.
Of them.
Arnie Klein
Both
was a little heavy, too.
Klein Rowe DNA.
Totally false.
It's that big, wide face syndrome. With those blank blue eyes.
Paris is going to look like Debbie Rowe. I
KRS.
Swear to it.
Klein Rowe syndrome.
When I see Paris, I always think, Debbie, but that could easily be my father's jeans, you know.
So no. Where was it at, Trudy?
It was on ABC's, World News Now overnight.
Really?
No, about halfway.
I was thinking about adopting two kids from each continent around the world.
Michael and Debbie had such a good relationship. It was very healthy, and it just surprised me when she sold the children to him.
Yeah.
And bought it out of their lives. That's just really weird, and they split up.
Didn't we have this discussion once? Didn't they actually get married for a short time?
Yes, they did.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
then she sold the children to him.
Your wife gave you two children as a present because she knew you wanted to be a father. Yeah, a lovely gesture.
Lovely gesture.
Giving children.
Selling the children. We had a quick negotiation.
Her band, though, is Soundflower.
Yeah, it's garbage, too.
It's just generic folk crap.
And then Prince just sat on the side like, yeah, I got nothing to do.
Why is he there?
I kind of like Prince, though.
I'm a Prince fan, too.
Yeah, because he's not really being, you know, he's not big stuffing around.
He's a little down to earth when you see interviews with him and stuff.
He's pretty chill.
You guys can
he's
have
kind
him.
Of the guy
I'm 100% behind Blanket.
I'm a Blanket fan, too. Blanket's just staying out of the spotlight.
I'm a Blanket fan. What is Blanket doing? Or Prince Michael II, isn't that his real name?
No, he had didn't he have a podcast? He had a podcast, remember?
What?
Oh, Blanket did?
Wait, yeah, he was a guest on
a podcast.
Oh, okay.
By the way, Carl from Who Are These Podcasts will be appearing on the show at the last week of every month to discuss podcasts. Right. And I noticed he did mention that Rob Lowe has a new podcast. I think he took an interest in that.
No.
All right, here's Paris and Prince.
With the support of her brother, Paris Jackson is forging her own musical path with her guitar, her voice, and some deeply personal songs.
Okay. I'm a black American, and I'm proud of it.
It wasn't until the last couple of years where I started.
What's with the vocal fry?
She talk like this. By the way, lovely nose ring that basically hangs down.
I've never heard any vocal fry in the Jackson jeans anywhere. And how can that be? She's his daughter.
She's got an eye. She sounds very wounded.
No, wait. Oh, man. I think she might be separated with something Jackson said. Hang on.
Maybe it's in the Rowe jeans.
Is this vocal fry?
No wonder she has an addictive personality.
Did you hear that?
You're right.
Why do you do this to me?
Maybe that's her.
I don't hear Fry in there.
Until the last like couple years, where sounds I started calling myself a musician and embracing that, you know, the feeling that
she got the addictive genes from Michael.
To do this.
Her words, her style, her feelings. At 22, Paris Jackson,
I wanted to slug Chris Conley.
Daughter, is now a recording artist.
Most people do.
Bandmate Gabriel Glenn in
but
the
he's acting like she's a serious recording in. Artist.
Well, calls her Michael Jackson's only daughter, too. She's so not his daughter.
I don't know, it just feels good.
Well, not biologically,
it feels
but
like
he,
not
he did own him.
In your stomach, but in your heart.
They paid for her.
That's cool.
The Soundflowers EP and Unfiltered, a docu-series
Look
featuring
at all
Paris
the
on
plugs
Facebook Watch. Her eclectic folk musical journey, walking in those daunting footsteps, supported along the
she
way by those closest
walking
to
in
her,
his footsteps.
His brother Prince.
Stop.
The way we were raised, me being oldest, I feel like I should be the one that's protecting the group.
You lead with your vulnerability. Don't
ignorant
you? That's
fool.
That's got to be challenging for you as a person.
Yeah, it's...
She has no shoes on, by the way. I just want to point
that out. Right. That's all he got to say was that one thing, too. It was like 3
really?
Seconds long.
Yeah.
That's the only thing he says?
Pretty much.
Well, it's her thing. You know, he's her supporter.
Why is he
both
there?
Of them. I was outraged.
I think he's helping her lead with her vulnerability.
Oh, okay.
Wear my heart on my sleeve. So I've been told. So people can usually tell when something's wrong.
The world first saw that vulnerability
we don't wanna know
in
when
2009,
something's wrong.
When at age 11, Paris spoke these heartbreaking words at her father's memorial service.
Ever since I was born, Daddy has been the best father you could ever
That's
imagine.
Really overdoing it.
Oh boy. Jesus. Why'd they put her
and
on the
I
microphone?
I just wanted to say I love him.
I'm really sad.
So
I'm embarrassed.
He's no longer with us.
Years later, at age 15, in the midst of more trying times, Paris would write the intensely personal Geronimo.
Oh, please. Is this a paid commercial?
Now, a track from the EP.
Why do you do this to me?
This is a nice piece of shit.
What can you tell us about the young woman who wrote Geronimo?
Kids can be mean.
Wait, that's her.
Your body's going through changes.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure people were so mean to Michael Jackson's daughter.
It's all over the place. A lot of kids that age also
it's BS. They made it up.
And hardcore mental illnesses.
In your toughest times, you've talked about some of the stuff you went through, depression, self-harm.
They manhandled me very roughly.
What was, you think, the source of your pain?
I think part of it was
I'm in pain all the time.
A portion of it was just being that age and going through the trials and tribulations of a 15-year-old girl.
Also pause for a second.
Like
trauma,
every 15-year-old girl.
This is what makes me crazy about her.
Girl with $200 million.
If she,
good point.
If she said, if her answer was, well, you know, my mother sold me to Michael Jackson, who's fucking nuts.
Yeah.
And, you know, was addicted to propofol.
Beat off to boys.
And, yeah,
holes.
He beat off to 12. He loved hanging out with 12-year-old boys. Total pedophile, and I mean, that really fucked me up. But no, it's the regular trials and tribulations of being a 15-year-old.
Allegedly!
The trials and tribulations.
You know, the seed to any kind
her
of
father's the greatest thing ever.
Unhealthy coping skill that you choose.
I remember when my sister first played Geronimo for me, I can hear and feel all the emotion and
really
pain
good.
And hurt that went into that song. And I just remember thinking that, you know, this was a song I think that other people both could relate to, but other people needed to hear.
No, they don't.
What's it like to hear your brother say stuff like that?
It's amazing. I don't want to get
totally
emotional,
false.
But he's everything to me.
We see a clip early on in your docuseries where you tell your father that you want to do something just like him.
Oh, Jesus.
What do you want?
I do what you do.
What do?
You dance and sing.
What
totally
did he
false.
Ever tell you about being a performer?
No matter what it was we were interested in, at one point I wanted to be an astronaut. He was like, do it.
Yeah, just buy
do
a
it.
Space
you know,
station
yourself as
and
much
then
as possible,
get
and then
the suit.
Go with it with every aspect of life.
Why are you stronger now? What's helped you the most in terms
oh
of getting up and facing the day in a way maybe you
I want to kill Chris
ago?
Conley.
Perspective. I think is the biggest one. But you know, they say like, you don't sleep with your kids or some other kid who needs love.
When you are on stage and you're performing one of your songs and you see in somebody's eyes that you're connected.
What is he talking about? Would you ask her, is she sold into perpetuity or can she talk to her mom? Ask a good question.
Sometimes. It's a good feeling.
And her greatest hope, she says, is that listeners will be uplifted by her songs in the same way that the music of others has healed her during tough times.
Oh, my God. When how God. Stupid.
No, no one wants to hear her music. It's terrible.
Wow.
If she was not...
She's rich.
If she had not been sold by Debbie Rowe to Michael Jackson, no one would be listening to this. No one!
What a waste of time for Prince.
Prince, you're missing some P... Why?
All right.
That is allegedly what Michael Jackson told his kid while he was looking at porn.
Over the past couple months, many people have been affected financially one way or another. And if, you know, if people can't go to school, there's going to be other impacts, like maybe a lost income. Somebody's got to stay home with the kids. There are a lot of reasons you might need to call attorney Tad Klimek to learn your options before you don't have any. Nobody wants to file for bankruptcy, but it happens. And since March, the entire country has really had a tough time. A lot of unemployed people, a lot of people furloughed, a lot of people with unique circumstances. Todd practices exclusively in Chapter 7 Fresh Starts and Chapter 13 Restructuring. It's a solo practice. You talk to Tad. You're not pushed off to a paralegal. Plus, consultations are free, and there's no physical hearings right now, so everything is done via phone and video. You don't have to leave your house. Very easy. He's a big listener of the show. You can talk at drops, and you'll
tell
find
this.
You'll find Tad relatable. He gets it. And in today's climate, it's more important than ever to call Tad and just see what your options are. Go to KlimekLawOffice.com, K-L-I-M-M-E-K, KlimekLawOffice.com, and it's Tad answering the questions. You won't have any fees or costs. If you're feeling the pressure, visit KlimekLawOffice.com. Take advantage now. Remember, know your options before you have none. And Trudy, what up with Dr. Roche?
It's time to get a hot bod right now. When you have time, too, there's time to go get a hot bod. Dr. Roche has all those specials in July, too. You can't go to the gym. So this is the quickest way to a better, tighter tone, tight, bubbly, bouncy bod.
Wow, that was a mouthful.
Yeah, saline breast implants, a special on those in July, $3,500. And, of course, Evolve, which is the biggest rave now. Everybody's talking about it, the latest non-invasive body contouring toning technology that fixes skin laxity, you know, all that crap that hangs down and wrinkles up, and cellulite. Fast, safe, teleconferencing through the offices of Dr. Roche at 248-338-1110. Oh, and one more thing they wanted us to know about. Body type for dudes. You got a beer gut. It's great. And cellulite on your legs. Same thing. So all those things, you can schedule a consultation, get that done, get a hot bod in time for
an
whenever.
Hour, in done. Boobs. Genius.
Really, there's no time now. So you might as well just get it done for whenever at 248-338-1110. Offices of Dr. Gregory Roche.
So the Johnny Depp trial just continues to go on and on and on. And, every, you know, for like during the day, every hour there's a new story. But I think the one that really stood out to me was the headline, Johnny Depp allegedly wrote Amber Heard's name in pee at their vacation home. Which my first thought was,
the worst.
Why are they vacationing somewhere where there's snow? But aha, there was no snow, which makes it even worse. She accused him of whipping out his dong and being escorted off the property. This is when they were in Australia, that lovely trip those two took. Where they
with the dogs?
With the dogs that were illegal, that they fought all the time. And so he's there, and he told security, "You took a fucking piss. It's my house." He then went back inside and did it right in front of them to nervous laughter, which imagine you're sitting in a house, and Johnny Depp comes in and starts peeing everywhere, and you just sit there and go, good one, John. Depp's estate manager, Ben King, told the high court he was sure there was no urine in the rental home. And that's he's also the guy that found the severed finger.
Oh,
the famous,
oh
what a dump this home must be. So he says, I did not see any signs of urine, and I did not smell it, as I would have done had someone urinated around the house.
They're such a nice couple.
A lawyer representing the newspaper who he's suing for libel asked him, are you sure there was no pee in the house? And he said, amongst all this blood and paint, you'll say that there was no urine. That's what the judge or the lawyer said. And he said, quite sure. But it sounded like he just went in there and started urinating all over the house trying to pee.
Nice.
Well, there's another story about that.
And don't get me started about the piss.
He also wanted that turd, the amber turd turd.
Yeah.
He wanted it checked for DNA to make sure it was hers.
Ooh. So they couldn't get that, though, because it was disposed of, right?
I guess, yeah. Yeah.
Unless the maid kept a sample.
One of the texts that he wrote to, I don't even know who he wrote this to, but he said, my wife let a whopper poop in my bed. Amber turd. I've been through a whole lot of shit with her.
Did you think that maybe the question about it's what it was, you know, I mean, I remember hearing you guys talk about it yesterday and that she needs to see a doctor.
She does.
Quick.
But then you pointed out that turds don't photograph well, I guess.
Yeah, they're not.
I guess, really... but Trudy, let's back up and talk about this turd comment. For a second. Hold on.
Trudy said that before the show that feces doesn't photograph well.
It doesn't. It really doesn't. But remember when we did Blue Poop with Motley Crue?
Oh, unfortunately, yeah, I do remember that. That was so
did
gross.
That?
All the shit cool.
That didn't really photograph well either. What were you going to say, Brandon?
Well, let's break this fucker down. I'm telling you, I saw that turd, three different photos, thanks to page 6. You can see it linked on on our page as well. And this turd is two-toned, and that's not unusual. We all have two-toned turds. Don't act like you haven't had a two-toned turd.
Really?
But regularly. But normally it's different shades of brown. Well, this one is a pretty dark brown, but then there's this weird piece that looks like tuna sticking out of it.
or a severed
piece of
finger.
Flesh. Yeah. So I don't know. So
what has she been eating?
Tuna. I really don't know.
Was there anything else from the trial today that you guys, did you guys see anything else about it?
Well, yeah, I saw that they had testimony from like coworkers, I don't know what aspect of coworkers that said that they fought like school children all the time. These two basically just, they needed to be apart. And I can't believe that either one of them is going through with this lawsuit because it's bringing out the nastiest details of their lives and the nastiest photos. We've seen Johnny Depp passed out in a drug haze multiple times, you know, using a drawer as a pillow, passed out with ice cream.
Because he couldn't sleep in bed because there was a turd in it.
There. Yeah, good point.
Was that the same? Is it the same?
Who knows? Same in my mind.
At some point, there was a turd in his bed, so maybe he just was scared of bed. He had bed phobia because he was afraid they'd roll over, be face to face with a turd like Frank Reynolds in Sunny in Philadelphia.
We also see him just completely zonked out with a whole carton of ice cream just leaked down his entire leg.
Now, come on, that looked like a fun night. Whatever. I mean, if that was the aftermath of the night, he must have had a blast.
He seemed warm. I'll give him that. But I don't know.
The other weird thing.
I wouldn't want that out there. I mean, that's detrimental to, you know, what people think of him.
So her personal, Amber Turd's personal assistant was on the stand. And she had a lot of interesting things to say because she really didn't back up Amber at all. But at the same time, she didn't back up Johnny because she explained all these abusive texts that he sent to the assistant about Amber Heard. But she also pointed out that she thinks that Amber Heard stole the story she told about when she was sexually assaulted. So she totally co-opted her assistant's sexual assault story, according to the assistant, which I thought was really weird. I know she's not a good person, but neither is he, though. That's the thing. This, you know, nowadays a lot of things are either black or white, or you know, it's this or that. There's no nuance, there's no in between. And this is another example of that because people will back either her or him, but they're both assholes.
They're both assholes. I feel like shrewy women get less backup than guys for some reason.
Well, yeah, because we're dudes. Duh. I mean, that's the way the world works, Trudy.
Right.
What a chauvinistic thing to say.
Nobody has any time for her. She got fired off the Aquaman, too.
Yeah, I do think you're right, though, that, you know, there is that narrative that, oh, that's the woman being a bitch.
He's
just
woman.
A wacky guy. Yeah.
Well, what went down with the Kevin Connolly situation, the Entourage guy?
Yeah.
he got Me Too'd.
Yeah, that was a pretty interesting story, which I thought Me Too was still was over, but apparently not.
Kevin Conley, the red-haired guy?
He played E, didn't
no,
he?
No, but I'm fascinated in wondering.
Wasn't he? Yeah,
he's the red-haired guy that you're talking about. He has red hair, Kevin Conley?
Oh, maybe he doesn't.
He's got sandy-colored hair.
Yeah, brown, right?
He was E.
Oh, okay. No red, nothing? No redness?
Is there any redheads in Entourage?
He's the brother of...
I like turtles.
Am I out of my mind? Wait, Entourage...
Are you thinking of Kevin Dillon?
Yeah.
Are they brothers on the show? Or
Kevin Dillon and...
he's Matt Dillon's brother.
Yeah. Son of a bitch. He's Matt Dillon's brother, but he's also the character, Vinny... What's his name? Vinny Chase?
Yeah, Vinny Chase.
He's his brother on the show.
Oh, he's Vinny Chase's brother. Okay, yeah. I'm making him an E brothers for some reason. I don't know what's...
But E is...
Can I just pretend I came back down again? Start over?
Nice Justina in. But E is like best friends with DiCaprio, too.
Yeah, yeah. He's part of that pack with Tobey Maguire, and they bang everybody in Gamble.
Really?
Play basketball,
Has he been in anything since Entourage?
No.
I've never seen him in any movies.
Oh.
Oh, you've been watching a lot of love movies?
I caught one with Kristen where Kevin Connolly was banging Drew Barrymore or something like that.
Oh, poor Drew Barrymore.
Well, I bet you know more about that movie than you're letting on.
It's one of those mashup ones where it has a huge... it's like a Valentine's Day type one or something.
Yeah. Ugh, that sounds awful.
Yeah, well.
Did you like it?
He's sometimes you got to watch those crap movies in order to watch the good movies. So.
Oh, wait a second. Isn't there a red tinge in his hair? look at his hair color.
I just think that
I don't think I'd call it red.
It looks brown to me, man. It looks. I mean, it's the light's hitting that one spot.
Okay. I may be colorblind.
Here, show it to. Let me switch your camera here.
Well, there's multiple pictures of him. Some his hair's really a lot darker in some pictures. Let me hit images.
I never thought of him as a ginge.
Okay, look at this picture.
Look at this picture.
Yeah, still brown to me.
Versus, wait, let me show you another picture. Versus that picture.
Does the carpet match the curtains?
Well, yeah, but one of those shots.
One of them, he's got dark brown hair, and the other one, he's got a red tint to it.
One of those.
I don't want to fight about this. Forget it.
No, okay, that red hair is like a part of his mouth.
This is a fun discussion. Here, show it to that camera. Hold it up to that camera so they can see it. Does that look well? Now see that. That looks like red hair.
It does.
At it through
it's reddish.
It. Yeah, it does look reddish.
Should we do a Twitter poll? Is this red hair?
Well, without the picture, it's kind of hard.
Is this red hair?
It looks red. I don't know. I may be colorblind, honestly, because I'm no pro at putting colors together.
All right. There's a little bit of auburn in there, but
auburn. Will you accept Auburn, Drew?
Wait a second. Look at that. You wouldn't say that guy has reddish hair?
No, I wouldn't. I'm sorry. I'm not trying to be a dick or anything. I just think that looks brown.
You would not call that reddish hair, Brandon Trudy?
Yeah, it's reddish.
It's reddish as hell.
Yeah, it's dark red,
Mark, look
reddish
at that.
Brown.
I'm looking at the same picture here. That does not look red to me at all.
Is that the color of Amber Turd's turd?
Hang on, I'm doing a Twitter poll.
Okay.
Is it Yanni or Laurel?
We'll just include the picture.
Well, no, I'm going to cut it. I'm just going to do the hair so nobody knows.
Yeah, what color is this dress? Yeah.
Well, no one's going to know what we're talking about.
That's okay. That's all we need to know.
You know, I almost forgot about Downtown Royal Oak today because we're trying to get more people to get $20 free. Free money. Royal Oak bucks. A $20 e-gift card can be used at any participating businesses. If you just go to visitroyaloak.com and sign up for RO in the Know, the newsletter, and you'll get this $20 e-gift card. You can use it at almost any business in Royal Oak. Let's see. Goldfish Tea, Elements Custom Jewelry, Ale Mary's, Tom's Oyster Bar, Lily's, Trico Salon. 515, the Proven Grounds Coffee and ice cream, Milan Pizza. How about the Little Tree Sushi Bar, City Tavern, Iron Horse? Any of those places, and there's many, many more.
Hungry all of a sudden.
What?
I'm hungry all of a sudden.
I know. I every time I see Lily's Seafood, I get very hungry. I love that place. It's on the corner of Washington and... Is it Washington 4th? It's right near the corner. I love that place.
Yeah, I think it's a little further north, isn't it?
They've got the TVs right above the bar, too, so if there's a good food...
I think it's 5th, isn't it?
It's always on. Is that 5th?
No, I don't know. What am I... I don't know what I'm talking about.
I can't say anything without it being questioned, for crying out loud.
No, I seriously don't know. I think it is 4th, though, now I'm thinking about it.
Okay, so... Remember, sort your favorite businesses responsibly, taking all the safety measures that people are asking you to require or asking you to participate in. And they're trying to do the same thing for your safety as well. So anyway, get your bucks. People are really signing up for the money.
Good, yeah.
I think hopefully you go and spend this money, too, because it's, I mean, we'll do it with a couple of your friends. Everybody get the $20 gift certificate and then go party in Royal Oak or go have dinner, do something. Again, visit RoyalOak.com. Sign up for R in the Know, R-O in the Know newsletter. And you get the $20 e-gift card. I think you get about a day. You can spend on anything. Any of these businesses involved. And it's there's a two long, long lists. I'm going to get to a list in a second, too. And then remember, don't forget to use Lyft. When you go into Royal Oak, you don't want to feel like driving. You don't want to park in the free parking. All the parking's free, by the way, for the rest of July. And I think it may roll into August, too. But if you just want to Lyft your way in there, take Lyft and use GO2RO, G-O-2-R-O. Go to Royal Oak. That's the code. You get $10 off your ride in, and you can use it going home, too. G-O-2-R-O, get $10 off on your ride home from Lyft. And, you know, if it's really late, 1 o'clock in the morning or something, it might be a few minutes. It might not be there right away, but they are getting to people. In fact, I got a lot of feedback on that when I mentioned it. People saying, yeah, it was just 10 minutes. I put in R-O Go or R-O-2. Go to RO at 145 or something over there, 155. So might take you a few minutes, but you'll get home.
There's the picture.
There you go. There. That's, I mean, that looks like the picture I saw. I don't know.
I think that's the first one. And then underneath that thread is this red hair. Two votes already, one for yes, one for no.
Okay, I'm going to vote.
Such important things.
Oh, just tell me what Brandon's vote is.
Oh, I know. Well, no. What are you going to vote, Brandon?
Yeah, well, I got to see the picture. I got to see this.
Trudy, would you please vote? Because I know you know it's red.
Well, okay. Look at the picture. I won't vote.
I really only said it was red dish.
Oh, Mark, you did this a great way to do this because so many people are not going to know it's Kevin.
I know. Okay. I don't want to influence anybody.
Well, you know what's funny? When you said his name, I merely pictured this little tiny guy because he's like 4'3"
sure.
or something.
Yeah.
And I pictured him with reddish hair. I don't know why. I just thought, oh, yeah, and he's got the reddish hair. I can't figure out why that went in my head. It was like, did I put the wrong head on him?
I never saw him that way, but now I see it.
So what'd you vote?
I'm starting to think I'm really weird.
I voted no.
Oh.
Brandon, what do you call that fucking hair?
That's my vote. You can't, don't silence my vote.
What do you call this? What brown color hair is that? Look at that hair.
Hey, listen,
Trudy, back me up.
I have a ginger wife and I have a strawberry blonde daughter. I know red hair. That's not red hair. That guy is auburn at best.
Oh, I think we have a vote coming in.
Auburn.
I would say brown with a hint of auburn.
I don't vote with my vagina.
It's at least reddish. Jesus Christ.
Dumbest discussion ever.
Sometimes
oh, you're winning
brown
right now.
Hair, when they have light streaks, it appears red. No.
You're winning in the poll right now, so be happy with that, Drew. Oh, and it's back to 50-50.
Brother.
No, you're winning again. You're winning big time. Now it's 75-25.
Jeez. I'm kind of pumped. Man, I was just getting wailed on. I didn't even think there would be a discussion about this. I mean, I never dreamed this conversation would stop at the red hair comment.
I know. He me-tooed somebody. We haven't even got to that part of it.
What did he do with his red hair?
I don't know.
I don't know if his pubes are red. Yeah, what exactly did he? No, he assaulted this girl who is now just coming out and telling her story.
At his, like, directorial debut after party.
Huh. Yeah.
There's actually a Yahoo answer that says, "What color is Kevin Connolly's hair? I need to know fast."
What's the answer?
It says it looks red in some light and brown in others.
I give up. Well, what is he, Irish? I mean, that's red, right?
The top answer is Kevin Connolly has several colors of hair.
Oh, what a jerk for having that many different shades of hair.
He has medium brown color with a very slight reddish hue.
Oh, my God.
I just don't want to. I don't want to argue about hair color anymore. I don't argue about which Disney place is closed. I mean, it's like I just feel like I get stuck in details. I must be the worst detail person ever.
So here's what happened. She started working on that movie called The Gardener of Eden. Has anyone even heard of that?
Who are we talking about?
This is the Me Too story.
Who is
that?
She?
The directorial debut.
The girl
of...
who's claiming.
Is and we don't know her.
No,
we
her name's know. Gracie Cox. Okay. She's worked on Gossip Girl, Orange is the New Black, The Good Wife, Girls. I mean, I don't know what color hair she has or anything.
Did this just happen?
No, it happened a while ago. So that's what's interesting. She's told all her friends and colleagues, her therapist.
If people criticized her for not entering the Me Too world sooner.
She talked to BuzzFeed in 2017 about it, just all this stuff. And I guess it never got out there. And her point is that Kevin Connolly is just that. He might not be as well known, but he's that powerful to bury a story.
Oh, really?
That's what she's claiming.
You know, I wish I could remember who was talking about this yesterday. You guys will probably remember. Someone was bitching that cancellation is bullshit because if you're Ricky Gervais, you're too big to cancel. If you're J.K. Rowling, you're too big to cancel.
I think it was Ricky that was saying all this. He said it in an interview. Ricky? Yeah.
Okay. So, and that's absolutely true. Look at Nick Cannon. He's got P. Diddy. He's got all the, you know, and the same thing with music. It's like some of these songs, and I don't really don't care. I mean, this is not something I'm in favor of, is just canceling people. But I do understand when people say, you know, there's kind of a problem with this in movies or this in music. And rap music's just a little misogynistic, isn't it? Just a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, it's horrific. It's horribly misogynistic, and it's like, well, no, we don't bother rap music. What is that? It's the same thing as this, like this Nick Cannon thing. Nobody says anything.
Yeah.
Nobody cares. And I don't really care, but it's like the music I love used to get criticized for being, you know, devil worship music and other things. You know, and people would commit suicide to rock and roll. And, you know, these things come up over time. But for some reason,
a lot of
topic never bothers anyone.
A lot of rock and roll was misogynistic, too. But
it was. No, but it's better than it was.
Just accept that. Well, I think rap is, too. But.
I don't know that people are necessarily. Maybe they are trying harder. I don't know. I think the people, the great writers, the songs that really last over time are not those kinds of songs, typically.
Sure.
But as far as what's popular, yeah, you might see more of that.
Do you want to know
any
what
form of music?
Do you want to know what happened with Kevin Connolly?
Yeah, I do. It just seems so weird that this little putz is assaulting people.
I know. How tall is he?
Five three. I think he's 4'3".
You said
4'3",
right?
They say 5'5", but they give him a foot and 2 inches.
He has to
he's
wear
Kevin
those.
Connolly, he's so
he has
powerful.
To wear those De Niro shoes on set, doesn't he? De Niro Irishman shoes.
Is he really this powerful that he can shut this girl up?
I don't know. So she was 29 at the time.
He's just a little guy.
They had this party at the end of, you know, the rap party at the end of this movie that no one even knows about. So he asked her, like, hey, you want to go out for a smoke? And she said she was a little bit tipsy. I didn't smoke, but I didn't want to seem rude. This was the first social setting I'd been in with him other than being on the set. He led me down a hall to what I guess was the VIP lounge. As soon as we were alone in that area, he started to kiss me. I didn't know how to respond, but before I could even think about what to do, he pulled me into one of those little side booths and pulled down my pants, turned me around, and within no time was inside me.
What?
So it's not just a Me Too. It sounds like a basic, you know, not a basic,
rape.
But pretty much a rape.
Kevin Connolly?
Yeah, her voice started crack telling the story. There was not really a chance in my mind to object or resist. It just happened that fast. I froze. I was in shock. Nothing that ever happened to me before. I was completely
he
caught off guard.
He says the incident was consensual.
Well, and that's where you get in
the way it always goes,
said. He was not wearing a condom and then did something she'll never forget. He took a pillow off a couch, threw it at me, and told me to. Anybody want to guess what he said?
Clean yourself up.
You got it.
He Frank Sinatra'd her?
He took a pillow off a couch, threw it at me, and told me to clean myself up. And then he told me he was going to leave.
Your money's on the dresser, baby. I'm done with you.
I'm kind of bummed that I knew the answer so easily.
It's so cliche. It's so cliche, which probably helps his case.
What if...
He then told me he was going to leave and wait a few minutes because he didn't want anyone to see us together. She quickly gathered herself and attempted to re-enter the party because that was the only way to leave. Catching the eye of, I don't know who this person was in the hallway. Her name's Amy. She saw me and could see that I was distressed. She had just seen him walk by too and immediately was like, what just happened? Her radar went off and she pulled him aside. So it sounds like she told her right away and yet still nothing happened to Conley.
I just don't think of him as being because he's DiCaprio's buddy.
Mm-hmm.
So?
I don't know.
Well, you know, honestly, none of this is fair. It's like the Scientology guy, Danny Masterson. He has a church that has $80 billion behind him. And they love lawyers. They're very litigious. And they just lawyer up, lawyer up, lawyer up. And they're experts at this. They can delay anything. They can make anything go away. They can make people's lives miserable. Anyone participating in trying to punish him can experience public, you know, private eyes and people going through their garbage and all that business. And that scares a lot of people off.
It sounds like a lot of people at this party knew something happened. And she told a lot of people that after that, too. So, I don't know. Apparently, he's got a lot of power.
I don't understand it. He always seems like a cocky little punk to me. I don't know why.
Because that's what he played on that show.
Yeah.
Was
yeah
a cocky he's just punk.
E. But everything I've seen him in, it seems like he's E.
Yeah, no, I know. What else have you seen?
Seems
him
like
in?
A weasel. Oh,
really?
Is he in anything else?
You I can't Brandon say I've seen him in a million things.
E. He's in The Notebook. Is that what you remember him in?
I'll tell you the movie it was. Hold
you saw
on.
Him in The Notebook?
What's The Notebook?
I saw him, and he was. He played Finn in The Notebook.
I don't know who Finn is.
Wait, what's The Notebook about?
That's.
You don't act like you haven't seen The Notebook when you
is
have.
Is that Gosling?
Okay, the movie I was talking about was He's Just Not That Into You.
Yeah. Wow.
I don't think
that's
I saw that.
Haunting. I
can't believe you saw that.
Hey, Drew saw it too, I remember. It's got Ben Affleck, Jennifer Aniston, Drew Barrymore, Jennifer Connelly, Kevin Connelly, Bradley Cooper, Jennifer Goodwin, Scarlett Johansson, Kris Kristofferson, Justin Long. A whole bunch of people. It's a very, 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 very famous movie.
Kevin Connelly directed the film Gotti. That bomb with John
oh,
Travolta.
Oh, God, that's so bad. And that's the last movie that Travolta's wife did.
Yeah,
Kelly
Preston.
Kelly Preston, yeah. I don't know why that death really bothered me. Well, it's
kind
weird.
Of a surprise, maybe?
Yeah, and she just seems like a very likable person. And,
sure, yeah.
And plus, I...
She looked healthy.
I was reading about what happened, and I saw that last picture of her, and that really... I was like, oh, God. Just seeing someone go through that, and, you know, it's the attempted cure is so dramatic, it really, really affects people in the way they look. Mm-hmm. And then they went into the whole thing about... his son dying, which is incredibly tragic. And
then
he also had this older woman he was all wrapped up in when he was about 25. I think she was in her late 30s. And she died of cancer. And she was his, I think she was his fiance at the time.
Has Travolta been tested?
Yeah.
Or
I don't know. I mean, she talked to Daryl Strawberry.
Agent.
Spreading cancer.
And Joe Torre.
Does he apologize for all that cancer he's giving people?
No.
Diana Hyland.
Yeah. So he's weird. He's really gone through some tough stuff.
Thank God he has Scientology to keep him.
Yeah.
And they massage
keep him,
therapy.
They keep him on
going, yeah. With his wiry and unkempt pubic hair. I was talking to Bentley, though, and he brought that up, and I can't believe I forgot about that. And then it was a debate whether or not that was Travolta or was that Al Gore.
Al Gore's was a different description, wasn't it?
I don't know. Al Gore, well, they were both massage therapists. I mean, Al Gore would take the hand and go, there! Down on
his
crotch.
Right.
But remember, Travolta would say that he needed his buttocks massaged because he was in pilot, and he was sitting on his butt a lot, so that's why he always needed his buttocks massaged.
Oh, Jesus.
What a weak excuse.
Like he's just flying 16 hours
a day. I
want
to be a pilot.
There!
That's a great story, but... He has that 707.
Yeah.
And it's like, why are you flying your family on a 707? So Kelly Preston had to take a real flight.
Oh, yeah.
And they got on this crowded plane, and the kids go, what are all these people doing here?
By the way, who has kempt pubic hair?
Well,
Joe DiMaggio.
I don't know. You can put a straight iron to those your pubes, I guess.
I think, you know, no one knows anymore because they manscaped them all off.
Exactly.
Hey, I got a cool list that I saw yesterday on, you know, Facebook. My Facebook feed now has so many people in it that it's kind of hard to even. Well, I've friended 5,000 people.
Cool. Do they post any cool memes?
No, I'm not a big meme person, but
no.
There's always a lot of. I mean, there's enough rockers in our audience that there's always some very cool stuff.
I am nothing without my following.
There's always some great stuff that people post, and this one, you know, we spent probably a whole week just about getting texts and calls and emails about good cover songs.
Mm-hmm.
I know who you are. We're friends on Facebook.
And I'm like everybody else. I love cover songs. I love going to a show and seeing the Rolling Stones do Bob Dylan.
Yeah.
Which they did. And they still do. Like a Rolling Stone. And I love their version of it. And generally, it's just a cool topic. And then you hear a great song and you really like it. And you go, oh, well, that song was done and it really wasn't a hit, but here it is. And you go, oh, my God, I like that version, like that Tainted Love song. I had no idea that Gloria Jones had done it in 1964. And actually, I liked her version. And there's a couple others like that. This is a list of 44 cover songs that you probably don't even know are cover songs.
Cool.
And I thought, oh, I'll know these. And there were a lot of them I really didn't know, like House of the Rising Sun. Everybody thinks, oh, it's an Animals. Eric Burton probably wrote it.
An old school blues song?
And
Mach
5 did that.
They did?
They that was a big one for them, House of the Rising Sun.
I'll never forget my brother learning how to play guitar because he was playing House of the Rising Sun over and over trying to get it right.
Mm-hmm. It's a bitch.
I had to hear that song a lot.
So who did it originally?
Song. It was a traditional folk song.
I'm so in love with my brother right now.
It's a traditional folk song of unknown origin about a wayward woman in New Orleans. Bob Dylan learned it from somebody in Greenwich Village and recorded it on his first 62 album. The Animals completely changed it with Alan Price's organ solo.
Oh, tell my baby since
then. It's Dylan.
Not to do what
I've never heard this version, honestly. I didn't even know he did it.
But John, that house in New Orleans, they call the rising sun.
Here's some weird trivia. House of the Rising Sun by the Animals was the first song by a British act that wasn't the Beatles to be number one in the U.S.
Really?
So the Beatles are the first number one song in America by a British band?
Who would have beaten them? I mean,
I don't know. Engelbert Humperdinck or.
He's British.
Oh.
I don't know.
Tom Jones? I don't know. I mean, somebody. Yeah. You would just think in the 50s or the 40s or. I mean, somebody.
Here's
really?
A song by a gay guy.
I mean, I guess that's why the British invasion was the British invasion.
And by the way, just people so you know, Engelbert Humperdinck was born in India, so he's Indian.
Okay. The Birds.
He could be English.
Interesting. Yeah.
The Birds, Turn, Turn, Turn.
No idea.
Okay.
One.
Pete Seeger took a chapter from the Old Testament's book of Ecclesiastes and set it to music.
Of course he did.
Oh, boy. And he stole from the Bible.
Yes, he did.
How slow is his version going to be, do you think?
Really slow.
Turn, I know. One of my biggest problems with Bob Dylan is the people he likes.
Actually, it's a pretty fast
version. Time to every
turn around, I'll play the back nine.
A time to be born, a time to die.
Hey, what?
A time to plan.
See, I don't even like the song anymore.
Turn off the radio!
Now that I know it can sound like that, I don't like it. Eric Clapton, After Midnight, which was actually one of his, I think that was his first hit. J.J. Cale did it, and they were friends. Cale released it in 1966. Clapton sped it up on his 1970 solo debut. And it was in the Michelob beer commercial.
Yeah, it's a huge commercial.
After midnight, we're going to let it all hang out.
It sounds more, sweet voice. It sounds very after midnight-y, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Huh.
After midnight, we're going to chill and shine.
Great song.
Horrible.
Drops are so good. Janis Joplin, Me and Bobby McGee, which was her posthumous number one. Yeah. Chris Christopherson.
Yeah, we know.
Wrote it. Yeah, I know. We know that. That shouldn't be on the list. Did everybody know Rod Stewart had a big hit with Downtown Train, but he did not write it.
Really?
The person that wrote it has been discussed on this show for possibly the first time ever in the last week.
This day at the carnival.
Tom Waits! Isn't that bizarre?
Wow, your Tom Waits is great, Mark.
It's really an easy voice to do.
That's the first vocal fry ever, isn't it?
He just needs to clear his throat. What if he sang and cleared his throat and it sounded like Rod Stewart?
he wrote and recorded Old 55. The Eagles covered him.
Oh, wow.
And I knew that. I don't know why I screwed that up the other day. I was talking about that. Linda Ronstadt, You're No Good, 1974. That was a huge hit. It was her first number one. And it was first... You're no good, you're no good, you're no good. She has great taste in covers. She really
covered,
does.
The Bodyguard song. It wasn't the Bodyguard song then, though.
Wait, she
didn't
did?
She do I Will Always Love You? Wasn't
that?
She did Poor, Poor, Pitiful Me. That was...
Yeah, the Warren Zevons.
Warren Zevon, yeah.
Yeah, and she covered Elvis Costello. Like five covers of Elvis Costello. Girls Talk, Party Girl. I think she covered Allison, maybe? Anyway, so Dee Dee Warwick's cousin, no, her sister, I'm sorry, Dee Dee Warwick, Dion's sister, recorded it. Betty Everett charted with it later in the same year, in the early 60s.
Who are we talking about again?
You're No Good, Linda Ronstadt. Yeah. So I didn't realize that Dionne Warwick had a sister who sang. I had no idea.
I would only be.
It's really Dr. Filling this,
she,
isn't
she
it?
She didn't include the third verse. I learned that from the David Foster documentary. He didn't even know about the
Wait,
Parton version.
Did Foster produces POS?
No. He used this for Whitney.
Slow down.
Eric Clapton's Willie and the Hand Jive. I don't know how many people know that song. That's a cool Eric Clapton song, actually. It's from 461 Ocean Boulevard. Yeah.
Love that version.
Johnny Otis had a hit with it in 1958, Willie and the Hand Jive. Kiss, God Gave Rock and Roll to You.
God gave rock and roll.
Wait, I thought that was Ace.
Okay, Ace, as Ace Frehley had done earlier with New York Groove. His former Kiss bandmates rummaged through Russ Ballard's songbook and came out with God Gave Rock and Roll to You, a top 20 UK hit for Ballard's band Argent.
Yeah.
Wait, Argent? That's Rod Argent's
band. God's like, drag me into this.
I think we came across this when we were talking about Argent.
We did? It was in Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey.
Yes, I remember.
Kiss
Love
made a few
movie.
Lyrical changes and tagged two to the end of that version.
It's when they were in heaven.
Is that the Russ Ballard's version?
It's Argent.
Argent?
That is a great
Wait, Argent did cool songs like Don't Call Us, We'll Call You. Remember that?
And by the way, Russ Ballard also did voices.
I think Russ Ballard has two or three songs on this list. George Harrison, Got My Mind Set on You. Did everybody know that was a cover?
No, I didn't. I didn't know any of these were cover.
James Ray recorded in 1962, and George had been eyeing that song to cover for some reason.
James Earl Ray?
No, not James Earl Ray. It's a different James Ray. This guy did not kill Martin Luther King Jr.
Oh, this version's way cooler.
I've got my mind set on you. I've got my mind set on you. I've got my mind set on you.
The Beatles loved black music. They did.
Wait, is James Ray black?
It's gonna take money.
Because it was from 62 and the Beatles loved it so much, I just assumed he was a black guy. Maybe he's not. Let me look him up. James Ray.
I'm just judging by the cover of the album.
I would say that'd be a pretty good source.
Yeah, but I don't know. Right, I thought that was brown hair, and apparently it's red.
One of the earliest songs I ever remembered.
What, James Ray?
Wait, no, the George Harrison version.
That's James Ray. Well, what are you looking at?
Well, look at the cover of this album. Look at that.
Does this guy look like...
Why. Okay, never mind. I see why now.
James Ray is definitely...
So look at this.
Am I so inaccurate? I have to be questioned about every detail I ever offer up?
Can I show you why? Because look at this picture here. That's what I saw. Doesn't look like a white guy?
I can't see it well enough.
He was black.
But I'll tell you why. So when
I would not be able to identify the guy's race.
That guy is white, but when you click on it, you find out that that's not the album. Is a compilation album of some other dick who signed him to his label, Gary Granahan's Caprice label. So it's a compilation album, but Gary Granham's on the cover. That's why I thought he was white.
I had a feeling you were looking at the writer who was not James Ray, and now I can't.
I'm just looking at the cover of that album that version was on.
Okay. Lost my place here, but there's a lot more left. There's 44 of these.
Oh.
Oh, jeez.
Okay, got my mind set on you, George Harrison. James Ray did the version in 62. And, it's funny. I would not have heard the song George did from hearing that. But that's what's so cool about covers. UB40 Red Red Wine.
That's Tommy James, right?
Close.
Ah.
Trudy, you should know this.
Oh.
Tommy?
Oh.
Yeah, in the right era. This is a big songwriter.
He's a big guy, right?
He's a big songwriter.
No.
Mr. Neil Diamond, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, I was going to say Neil Diamond.
Mr. Neil Diamond, Red Red Wine, wrote it.
Oh, Jesus.
He wrote it.
I was thinking of somebody cool.
I was confusing it with Spill the Wine.
Neil Diamond is a lot cooler than I think.
An old butt buddy. Are you here, Neil?
He doesn't seem cool, but he wrote a lot of good songs. I really do like a lot of his songs.
Neil's great.
I was wrong.
He's kind of a little too mellow.
They have a Warren Zevon.
Okay, right.
Cover here, and I don't even know what it is, so I'll just go ahead and I'll substitute a Warren Zevon song. I love his cover of Back in the High Life, Steve Winwood song.
Oh, I've never heard that.
But very few people would know the Warren Zevon version.
Mm-hmm.
But it's
I think Trudy just farted.
Warren Zevon's version is very wistful, and I think it's like, I'm not really back in the high life again. It used to seem to me. That's how I take it.
Oh, yeah. I love his dramatic way of singing songs.
I just love Warren Zevon. He's so cool. I mean, that's a voice you don't hear anywhere. Hoo-ah. It didn't sound like a guy going back in the high life.
Pretty mournful. Was this when he was dying then?
I think it was before he was dying, but not that far before, maybe like 7 or 8 years before he died. Yeah, I mean he had been dropped by 2 or 3 labels by this time.
Oh,
he was not back in the high life.
2000.
Okay, that's just a few years. 4 years before he died, or 5 years?
From the album Life Will Kill Ya.
Yes.
There's a cool story about that album too. Who did he who did that album with him? He had a bunch of friends come by and put that album together.
His last album, as he was dying, had Bruce Springsteen, Jackson Browne, He had all kinds of people working on the last album, but the one before that, I don't know.
We talked to somebody who we were surprised worked on that album. They just happened to be at that someone else's house.
Yeah, that's right. Was that the last album? Or let me.
I think so.
Life? Was it like someone like Brian Vander Ark or something? I can't remember who it was.
It might have. Wow, that'd be wild.
Wait, was it? No, it wasn't Vinny.
Life will kill you. It could have been Vinny.
Someone please let us know. But they were visiting someone else's house and like, hey, come record on this song.
I know, it's weird how that stuff happens.
That's going to drive me nuts. I got to look it up.
Okay, this 10th studio album by American singer-songwriter Warren Zevon, 2000. Let's see. Personnel, Warren Zevon, percussion, keyboards, guitar, piccolo, vocals, penny whistle, harmonica, theremin. I don't know any of these people. Maybe you're thinking of the last album, Trudy. Is it possible?
Because there's a lot of people somebody on telling that story.
Springsteen showed up on
Steve
Christmas
Gorman.
Day.
Gorman!
Oh, yeah! That's it. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, from the Black Crowes.
Yeah, Gorman. Oh, you know who did backing vocals on the same song?
Who?
John Waite. Another person we talked to.
Really? John Waite?
Yes.
Wait, on Back in the High Life?
No, on Gorman played drums on Knocking on Heaven's Door.
Oh, okay.
With Zevon, and along with backing vocals by John Waite and Billy Bob Thornton. I remember talking to him about it now. Tommy Shaw played guitar. Isn't that crazy?
Tommy Shaw's on that?
Yeah, man.
Son of a bitch.
So weird.
It's crazy.
Knocking on Heaven's Door with cancer diagnosis, 3 months to live. That's...
Well, yeah, that's pretty smart move, right?
Spot on.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So let's see. Warren Zevon, I was going to mention that when I was talking about going to the theater in London and seeing Ann Archer nude 2 feet from me, afterwards, we were just rambling around the streets, and I see Warren Zevon's album cover in the window. And I'm like, wait, it's not, is it? It's Leeho Fuchs! Remember the song "Werewolves of London" where he says he had chow mein at Leeho Fuchs or something?
Oh, is that restaurant?
It's that restaurant, yes!
Wow.
So, of course, we had to go in.
Was it good? Was Mr. Fuchs there?
Yes, Mr. Fuchs was there.
Did you talk to him?
Yes.
That's cool.
It was very cool. But it was just funny. Really, it's like, wait, he has the album cover in his window?
Well, yeah. You know why? Because people like you would see it and want to go in.
I know. I had to wonder how many people
I would
did that.
Too. A lot of people would.
Holy Fook.
If
that's his wife.
If I could only think of the exact line in the song. Wait.
Bang, Lee ding, Fook's. Ow.
It's in Werewolves of London.
Werewolves of London.
Tony Basil's Mickey in 1981. The not Mickey Redman song.
He hates that song.
Let's see. She took Kitty, a song by a British band Racy, switched the gender, and added a cheerleading hook. Mickey was number one on the Billboard.
Yikes.
Wow, I didn't know that.
It was a dark period in American style.
Here's a great one because I love this song.
Do you want the lyric, by the way?
Yeah.
I saw a werewolf with a Chinese menu in his hand walking through the streets of Soho in the rain. He was looking for a place called Leeho Fuchs. Going to get a big dish of beef
chow mein.
Oh, my God. What a great lyric.
I know. Warren Zevon's a great writer.
That was so amazing.
I'm hungry now for beef chow mein.
It's Leeho Fuchs. R.E.M. Superman, 1986. First of all, I love their version. I love that song. It's got great harmonies, but it is...
It's a cover?
Yes. It was originally done by The Click, a band that had some...
Never heard of them.
A band from Houston in 1969, and I looked them up. They had some regional hits, but they never really had a huge hit.
I mean, isn't that the best way to do a cover? Find a band that no one knows about and
Do it? Yeah. No, a lot of bands do that, too. They try to find B-sides and you know, weird songs that are actually really cool and make them their own.
Mm-hmm.
Now... Wait a second. Do You Believe in Love, Huey Lewis? That's not a cover, is it? Oh, wait.
Do you
If it's on the list, I think it
was recorded. It was recorded as We Both Believe in Love in 1979 by Supercharge, a band from Liverpool that had number three in Australia. Huey Lewis made a few lyrical changes, including the title, became the band's first hit, being at number seven. It was produced by... Wait, the song's composer was Supercharge's producer, Robert John Mutt Lang.
Sounds like the Great American Hero at first.
Yeah, too marchy.
Can you believe it?
I like marching songs.
Yikes.
I didn't like either version, actually. Although I got to tell you, the Clicks version of Superman sounds a lot like REM's. And I'm listening to it going, how could this not have been a hit in 1969? It's a great song. The Go-Go's Vacation, 1982, great song. Kathy Valentine.
You like Huey Lewis on the news?
Kathy Valentine was the bass player in the Go-Go's. She wrote Vacation in 1980 when she was a member of the Textones. It was released in the UK as the B-side of their debut single, a cover of Tom Petty's I Can't Fight It. She brought the song to the Go-Go's, who did their own version. And it was.
Does that really count? I mean, she's in the
band. I know, it's a little weird. It was recorded by the other band, though.
It's a great song.
Song for... This is the Textones?
Yeah.
Seriously?
It's only a minute 48.
Could they recut the vocals, maybe? I thought the backing singer didn't know the lyrics. It sounded like she was winging it. Robert Palmer, Bad Case of Loving You, was, let's see, a year after Moon Martin put out Bad Case of Loving You, Dr. Doctor, on his 78 debut, Shots from a Cold Nightmare. It failed to chart in the UK. Robert Palmer took it to number 14 a year later, his biggest pop hit in the UK at the time, Bad Case of Loving You. Mm-hmm. Boy, Robert Palmer just, like, died, and sometimes I forget he's dead. I don't know why.
Doesn't sound anything like it.
I just barely recognize the hook.
Yeah. All right, cool.
Kiss King of the Nighttime World, 1976. Kim Fowley, who was the guy that put together the Runaways, didn't he? Kim Fowley?
Yeah, he did.
And the New York Dolls. And let's see. King of the Nighttime World. I don't know that song. Essential songwriter producer Kim Fowley put together a power pop glam band, his own version of the New York Dolls, called the Hollywood Stars. Hmm. Columbia shelved their debut and Shine Like a Radio remained in the vaults until 2013. A few years later, Fowley presented one of the album songs, King of the Next Time World, to Kiss, and Paul Stanley and Bob Ezrin took the structure of the song and reworked it for Destroyer!
Oh, yeah. Good album.
How many? This seems like more than 44 songs, and there's a lot left. Black Sabbath, Warning? 10-minute closing track on Black Sabbath's debut was Warning. The song had previously been released as a single by Ainsley Dunbar, Retaliation. Well, that sounds like a mean band.
That sounds like a great one.
Formed by the drummer after stints with John Mayall and Jeff Beck and before stints with Frank Zappa, Journey, Whitesnake, and many other groups. Okay.
Just remember that.
What is this song? I'm not doing a Tesla song.
What? It was probably the Signs.
It's not Signs. It's not Little Signs. Little Susie. Signs was by the 5-Man Electrical Band.
Yeah.
That's a great song. Yep. Little Susie nobody cares about. Nazareth, Love Hurts. Hey!
We were just talking about it.
Yeah, it was recorded by and written by Graham Parsons.
And then we had that very angry boner line correct correct all the information about Graham Parsons.
What was wrong? Oh, about the ice in the butt?
No. Just the when he died and I don't know. There was like four things he corrected.
He died near Joshua Tree.
No, like was I don't know. Hey, don't argue.
You need
with
to
the
listen
boner.
To the previous boner line before you start popping up anymore, Graham Parsons.
I didn't say it was going to be
argue with him.
I guess there's nothing. If anything I said is even remotely open to question, it has to be completely fleshed out. Jesus Christ! David Lee Roth, Shy Boy.
Ooh,
I don't even know the song.
No,
nobody cares. Okay,
I kind of want to know what it is.
Blondie hanging on the telephone.
Did Bananarama do the
Shy Boy?
Yeah, because I typed in Shy Boy.
Sheehan, let's see, Billy Sheehan, the bassist on that album, had written it for his first band, Talus, who released it on 1982. Sink Your Teeth Into That, and a live version appeared later. Who cares? I don't even know the song.
Sorry I asked.
I don't even know that song.
Next.
Okay, Rod Stewart, First Cut is the Deepest. Anybody know who did that?
Joe Crow.
Negative.
Cat Stevens?
Cat Stevens. Yes.
Right on.
It doesn't sound like a Cat Stevens song to me, but...
Well, just slow it down in your head.
Well, I love Cat Stevens.
He's great, man.
But when it comes to being love, Jesus, that's how I know the first cut is the deepest.
Wait, that's Cat Stevens?
No, it's Yusuf Islam. Yeah, it says it is.
It doesn't sound like that.
It sounds like you recut it. It sounds very trebly, too.
That sounds like him.
An up tempo.
Does anybody know who originally did I've Done Everything For You?
No.
Rick Springfield had a hit with it.
No.
Nobody knows?
No.
Nobody knows. Sammy Hagar.
Really?
Whoa, Sammy Hagar is a solo act.
Oh, way to ruin it, Springfield.
It was a hit. I never liked it that much.
Oh,
it
sounds like a great one.
That's Sammy?
Yeah.
Wow. Did you know Some Kind of Wonderful by Grand Funk was a cover?
I think I remember hearing
that. Oh, yeah. I remember.
I didn't know that. Soul Brothers 6 did it. And I thought all Grand Funk songs were originals for some reason.
This is my favorite version. I love the Christian version.
Oh, yeah, because didn't he redo every song and change it?
Oh,
like,
that's right. He
added
did.
Jesus into it?
Yeah.
Hold on. Wait for it. I've got everything that a man could want, and I've got more than I could ask for. I don't have to run around. I don't have to stay out all night.
Play this at my funeral! A sweet loving Savior, and you know. Doesn't Jesus come into the lyrics occasionally? How about that? How about that? How about that?
Hey, that's a catchy tune.
Okay, this one, I had no idea that Steve Miller Band's Jet Airliner, which we played right before 9/11,
yeah,
before the first plane hit the building, how ironic, was originally done by a guy named Paul Pena.
Who the hell's that?
I don't know who the hell that is.
Well, are you Pena?
Stone's Time Is On My Side. I thought that was a Richards Jagger. It's Kai Winding.
Who's that dude?
I don't know who that dude is. I just have a feeling the version is not going to be to my liking.
Can we look for it?
Yeah, why not?
What's the name? I just see
Time Is On My Side, Rolling Stones, Kai, K-A-I, W-I-N-D-I-N-G.
I see someone named Irma.
Oh, you know what?
Smash, smash, smash.
Did Irma Franklin?
Irma Thomas?
Is that Aretha's sister? Oh, no, it isn't. It isn't. Oh, wait, she recorded it. But, okay, I screwed up. Paul. Kai Winding wrote it. Winding.
Did she record it before that?
She recorded before the Stones.
What about Wilson Pickett? Yes, it
is. I think Wicked Wilson Pickett might have done it after the Stones. Because all those American soul singers started covering the Beatles and the Stones trying to have hits. Now you always say Wicked Wilson Pickett has a great cover of Hey Jude, by the way.
Oh, really?
That was a hit about maybe less than a year after the Beatles.
Just a great song, though.
It is a great song. But it's perfect for Mick Jagger. You know, it's on...
Don't you know any other goddamn tune?
It's really funny. Trudy, you remember Hot Rocks? The Rolling Stones, Hot Rocks.
Stones, yeah.
Yeah, uh-huh. It was like their first greatest hits album. It's got so many incredible songs on it. And Time Is On My Side is on...
That starts it off, right?
It's the first track on one side. And the second song is Heart of Stone, which I thought was just a perfect Jagger song. Yeah. CSNY had a hit with a song called Woodstock that Joni Mitchell wrote. And they recorded it right after Woodstock, but she wrote the original version, and it's not as good. Judas Priest, Time Is In Rust, originally written by Joan Baez. Eric Clapton, another one in here, Cocaine. I always thought that was Eric's song. It's J.J. Cale's, the same guy that did After Midnight.
Oh, that poor guy got ripped off.
Did anybody know Bruce Springsteen's Jersey Girl was originally recorded by Tom Waits?
Of course.
Did it first.
Jersey Girl.
Clear your throat. You know she fills me with sounds a lot like Bruce.
That's why Bruce sings like that.
My peepee's on.
down in Putnam County. And we got some jibber cables at 12-volt or 6-volt.
Sounds like a great one.
Ace Frehley, New York Groove, Russ Ballard. Yeah, I mentioned that earlier.
That's a cool song.
Heart Alone was originally recorded by I-10. I would never even mention that song, except it was a huge hit for Heart. The Doobie Brothers, Take Me in Your Arms and Rock Me, was done by Kim Weston and also the Isley Brothers.
I don't know that song.
Though the Doobie Brothers did. That was a hit for them. CCR, Susie Q, great song.
Oh, Susie Q.
Dale Hawkins wrote it, I believe. The Stones covered it. Recorded it. Dale Hawkins, I don't know if he recorded his own version. Johnny Rivers recorded Susie.
Oh, gross.
That's probably the version Maz likes. Well, thank God some of these covers got done. Quiet Riot, Come On, Feel the Noise. Huge hit. Slade. Yeah. Slade. Kingsman's Louie Louie, which was such a huge song in the 60s. Well, the bands, college football games, it seems like college bands always play Louie Louie. Jack Eli did it in 1957.
Isn't that the album that your brother wrote the lyrics on?
Yes, he wrote the lyrics, and then he crossed out the dirty words, and he wouldn't tell me what they were.
That's so fucking great.
I know. And I was so curious, too. And I listened to it, and I couldn't hear him in the song. I didn't know what the hell it was. What was supposed to be dirty in the song? Does anyone remember?
I didn't even know there were really lyrics. This song has been covered a ton.
Oh my God, yes.
Did you know Iggy covered it?
Who?
Iggy Pop.
And now?
I'm not surprised. I didn't know that.
Dig this one.
Yeah. There's that typical Stooges.
Okay, bye.
Oh, baby, I really gotta go now. I want to say the Blues Brothers did it. Didn't they in the movie? In Animal House? Oh, wait, no, is that,
I don't
is that
see
the band
that
they went to see?
Did it? No, wait, in Animal House?
Yeah, who's the band that plays?
Otis and the Boys.
Let Her Stay in the Nights.
Yeah, Let Her Stay in the Nights, that's right. I love that scene. Johnny Cash.
Makes me think of the Palace, because remember they used to play Shout during the Pistons game?
That's
the
right.
Bad Boys.
Palace memories. Ring of Fire, Johnny Cash. June Carter Cash wrote that, I guess.
Well, that one, get that out of the list.
And Anita Carter covered it.
Count.
Ring of Fire?
Well, Ring of Fire wrote it, though. No, I love the song.
Well, I don't think he knew her then. I mean, I don't think they were married then. And, boy, that was a long list. Was that 100 songs or 44 songs? Jesus.
That was it?
That's the end of the list, I think. God.
I like that list. That was good.
That was a pretty cool list. That's a pretty cool list.
Wow. That had what I really like in a story. And Andy.
Oh, Brandon was so bored. Brandon's just eating dinner. He doesn't even have his headphones on anymore.
Did you
get
dinner?
Not true. I didn't. No, I got no dinner whatsoever. I was actually working on today's cover picture, so I was trying to multitask.
Wait a sec. You haven't gotten dinner yet?
Yeah, where's dinner?
Today is... Kristen decided to take the baby out today.
Oh, at Brandon, night? You have nothing to eat.
Babies love going out at night.
Well, I think she should be back
soon.
They're
going to a concert?
That's probably why I don't
they
have my
dinner. They went out to dinner
without
them.
See Scott Stapp?
Are they going to bring you the doggy bag of food from their dinner?
So Kristen's best friend had a child right when Kristen had a child. So, oh my God, best friends and their daughters can be best friends. So they...
Oh my God, nobody ever has two kids at the same time!
Well, they're hanging out today, and it's
cool.
It's the birthday.
It's so true. Well, did you guys see the video of the mask? The guy that wouldn't put the was pissed about somebody confronting him about the mask. He stabs the guy. The police go to his house, and he's at his. They actually pulled him over. It was near his house. They pulled him over in Grand Ledge. His house is in Grand Ledge. I'm not sure that's where they pulled him over. But he was in a neighborhood.
Yeah.
If you saw the shooting.
Some of the video, not only from the body cam, they have video from the Ring doorbell cam.
I saw that. Yeah. So, okay, I'm watching this video, and first of all, I'm like hearing boom, boom, boom. And the guy's still coming with two knives, and I'm like, how many times do you have to shoot this guy? How much PCP is he on?
He wasn't going down.
And she had to reload.
Yeah, she reloaded so fast, too.
Okay, now.
What was her tattoo? Did you know she had a tattoo on her arm?
I didn't notice.
It was right on her wrist.
I couldn't tell what it was.
Some people were saying
I
hate to do this, but some people were saying that some of those shots, which were really close, that some missed. And that's why he was still going.
Fuckers, or I was going to say stuff like that.
Because she's a female.
I don't know. Did I say she? Because I don't. I'm not even sure. Oh, she was a female. It was a female.
You don't see gender.
That's really not relevant. That's not relevant.
Maybe she has bad aim, but she did fire pretty quick, man. Reload.
Yeah, I mean, she did get the job done. But I'm just saying,
what dick would point that out?
Somebody on the news actually said, if you're wondering why he keeps coming, I think they were suggesting that a couple of shots may have missed. I'm not sure it was.
Well, clearly,
it wasn't like ugly.
She had to reload.
Yeah, but he was really close on me. I mean, I'm not ragging her.
I would have missed.
Just saying. Some people started talking about this, and I was just sort of listening.
Hey!
don't, by the way, if someone's not wearing a mask, don't argue with them. You're not going to win the argument.
No, you just film them, and just film them and let them know you're filming them, and maybe that won't start.
I wouldn't even film them unless they can't see you filming them. I wouldn't.
You're supposed to shame them now, and you're supposed to cause a confrontation.
Let someone else.
You're also supposed to wear a mask. So just
I would let someone else do it.
Well, the problem is the people that work at the store have to do it. So here they are. We're gonna,
They shouldn't. They shouldn't have to do it. To be honest, but honestly, I just this guy. He stabbed a 77-year-old guy. Who wanted to argue with him? They argued twice in the store and outside the store.
How's the guy doing?
He's in serious condition.
Is he really?
Yeah, he is. So yeah, that was a. Oh my God, what a story! Jesus Christ!
The guy that was killed came at the cop with a knife and a screwdriver.
Oh, is that a screwdriver?
And a knife. And told him knife in his right hand. Go ahead, Brandon. Sorry.
She gave him so many. I mean, I think I counted like six or seven times where. She was just begging him to drop it, and he just kept coming. So there's nothing she could do.
Oh, no.
Did you guys see me win that conversation?
Hell no. I saw a story about another freeway shooting, by the way. Is anyone going, there's sure been a lot of freeway shootings lately? Yeah. This is on Southfield Freeway, which could have been me, technically. I've driven the Southfield Freeway quite
That's
a few times.
Important thing.
And it was a good Samaritan that pulled over. And
like that could have been me.
He called 911, and he drove her to the hospital. I don't know if they just didn't have anybody that could get there quick enough, and he was concerned, but great guy. Yeah. And it turns out that, in this case, actually, the victim may have known the shooter. So I don't think they have figured that out.
Do you remember the guy on 96 who was shooting people back in 2012?
Yes.
Trying to get his conviction vacated now.
I saw that. I don't think that's going to succeed.
Yeah.
I hope not, anyway. Yeah. So, yeah, that was, crazy, crazy news. Also, anybody see? I'm not going to laugh. Okay, there was an 18-year-old man shot in a convenience store on the west side of Detroit, and there's this big bolo, be on the lookout.
Yeah.
Because they were green light locations. So there's video, and there's this couple. There's this guy who's in he's wearing a Nike shirt, like a long sleeve Nike. It's a nice shirt, actually. And the woman who's with him is this driver, apparently. She bolted out of there driving. And she may shop at the tight dress store, perhaps.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the same one Anne-Marie LaFlamme goes to. If you look at have you seen her picture yet?
No.
It might, it might be the plus size tight dress store.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now.
You want to go to Channel 4? Can you show us, Brandon?
I can find it.
I mean, I've never seen buttons under so much pressure in my life. Seriously. I want to know what kind of buttons are in that dress because it's
Here
buttoned
it
all the way down and they are just.
Oh, man.
It's a beautiful dress.
Is that even a dress or just a really big shirt that's still
like
not
a giant
big
shirt.
Enough?
Well, it's got the legs in it for her shorts.
Does she?
Yeah, it's like a mini jumpsuit.
You can't tell. That is, I would not want to buy
those buttons are just under immense pressure.
Yeah. I'm in between sizes.
Oh, man.
Other than that, it's a lovely dress. So, yeah, they're looking for them. That's a
really plump and, not fat, but, big boned,
wide girth.
So anyway, yeah, he's got a sweet Nike shirt on. I don't know if that's any help in finding him, but they're still looking for those two. Interesting.
Sure, we haven't even mentioned the most ridiculous story of the day, and that's the Michigan's announced the ticket arrangement for the 2020 football season, which isn't going to happen, but they're pretending it still will happen.
And you know, this is all so weird to me because, I mean, obviously, if we're going to say that, you know, health clubs can't open, but we're going to play college football.
Yeah, but we're not going. We know they're not going.
We're going to pretend that we're going to play college football, and we're going to practice, and, you know, we're going to get ready, and we're going to talk like we're going to have just a Big Ten schedule.
Yeah, I know. Laughable.
I don't know. I'm really starting to think they're going to play because I don't know why they wouldn't.
Well,
are they waiting for to say, oh, we're not going to do this?
The very last moment, right before kickoff.
Evan insists, this is what Evan says. He's like, oh, if you guys don't want to play in the Big Ten or the ACC, that's fine, but the SEC is going to be playing.
Yeah, there's a big story about that today. The SEC is trying to save the big non-conference games against the ACC and the Big 12. And what conference am I missing? Not the Pac-12.
They're trying to do
ACC,
what?
They're trying to save the big, like South Carolina, Clemson. They're in different conferences.
Yeah.
So they're trying to save that
game. Well, they've played every year for 100 years.
Yeah. Which I don't think wouldn't they excuse it if 1 year's off? But they're trying to save those. So yeah, the SEC's doing hell or high water.
But there's a coronavirus, and you can't even work out at a health club. You know, so how can they save that game?
Maybe coronavirus is a fan of the SEC, and they won't infect people.
Wait,
that are part of the SEC.
Why don't they play flag football, and then they don't have to tackle each other, and they'd less chance of getting. Yeah, and they got to wear a mask.
That'll be exciting.
By the way, when they were at the press conference today, and I'm watching that video, you know, Harbaugh and the Michigan State, mask up! And I'm like, aren't the football players wearing masks, do you suppose?
Well, they have one on their eyes. They have an eye shield.
You mean the students?
Should they put the student athletes, should they put the whole thing all the way down?
Yeah, I don't know.
A lot of people wear the plexiglass in their helmet.
Because it's kind of weird that these programs are having big coronavirus outbreaks, and they're not even really tackling each other.
This is just laughable, though. So there's not going to be any football season tickets. Your status as a season ticket holder remains unchanged, and season ticket locations will be retained for the next year. So if they're able to have Michigan Stadium fans, if they're able to have fans there, all home games will be sold on an individual game basis, with sales limited to season ticket holders and students. The people
people that already have the tickets anyway.
Yeah, and most likely to spread it, the students.
Well, what about the players? You know, they're tackling each other. They're going to go to bars after the game. They're going to get laid. They're going to party.
It's just really ludicrous. I don't know. I just don't.
So are they sending me my seat license money back that I sent them?
No, they're just going to kick that forward. Or you can make it. You can make it a donation. You know, a full donation. So what people are saying too is they think they're maybe going to put 20,000 in the big house, which. That's still, 20,000 people.
And they're never going to bunch together or move closer to see the action or anything like that.
That's
like that country concert did that everyone shamed so badly.
Thank you. That's what I was going to say. That's exactly what's going to happen. Everyone's going to try and get as close as they can.
Yeah, brother.
So at that point, why not just have 110,000?
Oh, how funny.
It's not going to have a season.
Hey, did you see that? Let me see if there's anything else local today.
Real quick on the Twitter poll.
Yeah.
Right now, yes, that is red hair is leading 78.3% to 21.7%.
What?
Looks like I'm on the losing side of history.
Me too.
Congratulations, Trudy.
You're welcome.
Let's see. What else? Okay. What is this? I think I mentioned the other day that there's so much discussion about the crime wave that's hit New York, mm-hmm. and the murder rate has doubled. Shootings are up 185%. That's almost three times the shootings as a year ago. So I didn't even really understand this, but it was just universally slammed. AOC came out and got headlines saying that this is because people don't have any money and they're stealing bread to feed their families.
What a moron.
Because they can't work and they got to pay all these bills. And Cuomo came right out and said, no, that's not it at all. Because we have a rent moratorium, you cannot be evicted.
Yeah.
And in fact, one in four New York City tenants have not paid rent in 4 months. And
wow, sweet.
And if you go back like 2 months or 1 month, it's quite a few more are not paying rent.
Well, if there's a moratorium, why would they?
I don't know why they would. I don't know why anyone would.
It's not a rent moratorium, though. It's an eviction moratorium.
Yeah, but so that means you don't have to pay rent.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
500,000 people, it's actually more than that now, over 500,000 people have left the city because they don't want to pay these, you know, rents are ridiculous in New York. Mm-hmm. And you get, I mean, for efficiency, you pay ridiculous rents and they're going, I can't really enjoy anything about the city right now, so yeah. I think I'm going to just get the fuck out of here, especially, and this lease is officially over!
Especially when Matt Damon closes down a street so he can move into his fancy apartment.
He did? I didn't know that.
Matt Damon!
Are people bitching about it?
Some people were bitching about it. Because
why do you have to shut a street down?
Because they use like a giant crane because he's on the 12th floor. It's like the tallest building in this.
They do that for everyone or just Matt Damon?
Well, they'll do it for you if you have the money to lift everything
Matt
up there.
Damon.
You have to close a street down to move into this building.
Apparently. Well, to have a crane lifted up, a 6,000 square foot apartment, it looked pretty sweet.
You know what I think I would I would tell the owners of the building? You know what? You're going to have to build a freight elevator, so just fuck yourself. You're not doing that crane thing anymore. How do you get to do that? It's ridiculous. So
he has probably a big piano or something like that that he needs to crane in.
He doesn't play piano.
He doesn't, but he could have
a
piano.
Oh, a show piano? You're right.
Yeah.
Cuomo. And Cuomo, by the way, Andrew Cuomo, was getting blasted on CNN. I just like, why can't everyone just chill out and just go along with a few things every now and again? I guess Jake Tapper was just appalled because he was on Jimmy Fallon taking a victory lap. It's like, a victory lap?
What are you talking about?
Because New York has done very well in suppressing the coronavirus. Yeah. And Jake Tapper's point was,
we're not out of this.
32,000 people died!
Yeah, but it could have been a hell of a lot more. Here's the other thing. Was it really a victory lap?
No, it was not a victory lap. Yeah. He had a couple of, I think they had a poster that said New York Strong, you know. Like Boston did.
A little positivity, maybe?
Yeah, positivity. And Jake Tapper just blasted him. Now, I was wondering if Chris Cuomo responded to that. All I hear about Chris Cuomo is that his brain is fried from coronavirus and he can't work out.
So they're selling this poster, too.
Oh, are they?
Yeah,
okay.
Which that's a little fucking weird.
Probably to raise money, though, right?
Yeah,
well, I would assume so. For Cuomo's pockets. I don't know. I'm just joking.
I assume that people will buy it, probably, as a souvenir of the time.
Kind of a cool poster.
Yeah. I mean,
actually, I take it back. It's really kind of a stupid poster.
I just,
it's got the curve on it.
I don't know. I always feel like these outrage stories, I read them, and half the time I just go, why can't anybody just let anything go? And then there's some things.
24 hours of television news.
But then there's some things that people just, everyone lets go that are like, wait a second, you're going to be outraged by that? And then this guy can slam every Jew in the country. Yeah. Nobody says shit.
Yeah, no.
And he's going to be in The Masked Singer?
You would think they would, that would be a bigger story.
Can you Google Nick Cannon? I'm just wondering if The Masked Singer let him go today and I don't know it. Because it seems like, I can't believe that's still going on.
I haven't seen it, so.
I mean, wouldn't you, am I?
You're going to be on the wrong side of history, Masked Singer.
Am I taking this too seriously? Did you guys expect him to get blown out?
Yes. Blown out. By tomorrow. I predict by tomorrow.
I think it's tricky, though.
I know, but people will start saying, but Roseanne got fired. Megyn Kelly got fired. How come he doesn't get fired?
It's hard. Man. It's hard to square those things. You know, Roseanne said something that was terrible about one person. He is... He's saying something pretty bad about a pretty persecuted group and the entire group. And white people are really kind of caught up in that thing, too. Not that I am. It's like I'm going, oh, my God, I can't live. Nick Cannon said something terrible. But it just seems in this environment.
Oh, it's just the whites. Oh, who cares about the whites? They're fine.
I mean, that is way over the line. And he's unapologetic, too. That's the other part. It's like, I can't believe he wouldn't go, well, my career's... I got to... No, absolutely not. Which tells me that he really means it. Which is kind of scary, isn't it? That somebody... You know, this is... What he's saying is really not far... I mean, I don't know. I would compare it to David Duke.
I mean, it's pretty out there what he's saying.
And I didn't even think about that. Someone else was explaining, you know, how this compared to David Duke, and they were saying it's actually worse than David Duke. I don't know if I agree with that, but it's you know, David Duke is completely shunned. Mm. Completely shunned.
It took a long time to do that, though.
Do what?
Shun David Duke.
He was associated with a bigger group.
But he still turns up. But Nick Cannon is a host. I mean, you're supposed to be pretty squeaky clean when you're hosting shows. So
did you know he has an upcoming daytime talk show that hasn't been canceled either?
Nick Cannon does? Really?
Let's see.
I mean, this is just...
Let me just find out what the source on this is. Well, this person alleges, I don't know, they have a check mark. Fox TV, Lionsgate, and the producers of Nick Cannon's upcoming daytime talk show are remaining silent about the TV host's recent anti-Semitic tirade.
I would really...
What has Lionsgate done?
I would think some really renowned Jewish people would be speaking up about that.
They're too busy pulling the string. just kidding. Jeez. Yeah, no, but who is very outspoken for?
Oh, well, it was quite a few people.
Well, the Anti-Defamation League, you'd think they probably have something.
I swear, I've been so stunned by some groups like that in the recent past. For example, the ACLU will stand up for anybody.
Yeah.
And they've been really quiet about some stuff, though. I really thought you'd hear them speaking up, but no. Anyway, one other thing. Yesterday, this opinion section person from the New York Times left her job, and what she described was people, sort of a mob rule of the New York Times, people who are writers, you know, could be writing anything, who were en masse shaming her for including alternate viewpoints in the opinion page. And the feeling was, is interesting. There's a lot being written about this. And I find all of it interesting because, you know, my entire life, and I know you read the New York Times, Trudy, so you probably agree with me. My entire life, the Times, New York Times, is considered left of me personally. Not that far left. I didn't think of it that way. But I still saw it as a paper of record. And they always said, all the news that's fit to print. And, you know, what was the other slogan?
The old gray lady.
They were, you know, it was like the pride of journalism. It's like that's the ultimate job, the New York Times. And it seems that I feel like I don't feel the same way about the New York Times right now. I really don't. I haven't for a while because.
Let me ask you this, though. So if you see a report come out of there, not an opinion piece, but you see a report, do you question the
failing New York Times
validity of it?
Not normally. Not normally, no.
Do you right now, if you see a story coming
out?
Not
normally, no. No, not normally. I really wouldn't. Okay. But I've just seen the New York Times do things that shocked me. And when I was reading this sort of analysis of the New York Times and the opinion that are leaving, I was actually looking things up that they were referring to. Because I didn't really remember them. I didn't remember. I think, you know, my opinion of the New York Times has always been a very high opinion. And I remembered other people. For example, they brought up Kavanaugh and the Michael Avenatti slut, which I remember that. The girl that said that Kavanaugh was in gangbangs in high school.
Mm-hmm.
New York Times. I mean, the next day, front page. And we all know Michael Avenatti is a piece of shit now. And a liar, and he steals money from handicapped people, and he's a terrible, terrible person. He's in jail, isn't he?
No, he got out because of COVID. Yeah.
He has not gone to trial yet. I don't think, has he?
No,
I don't think so. No,
but I mean, he's facing a long time in prison. Anyway, he came up with this girl. He said, and he was her spokesperson. He said she witnessed gangbangs and la da da da. And it was an outrageous story. The New York Times printed the story. They did the story. And it turned out she had quite a history of, I mean, it was bullshit. It was total bullshit. And I was kind of shocked that the New York Times printed it because it just seemed like, I would think the New York Times would vet us, that they wouldn't feel the need to participate in the clickbait world, which many others did. The Washington Post printed the story too. The Covington story, we talked about, what's that?
Thanks, Bezos.
Yeah, nice going. The Covington story was the same way. They actually went with the first story that these kids were chanting "Build the Wall," and they were going after this Native American Vietnam vet. Nothing about the Hebrew Israelites. Nothing. And the next day, they did a story saying, "Oh, there's more to the story." Well, you know, because this story is really different to me, because Brandon came in and told me about the story, and we sat and watched the video. They didn't do that. They absolutely did not do that. They must have reported, as many did, on the clickbait that was on Twitter that was built to enrage at the Covington kids, and it worked. Now, the opinion section is something totally different. I just wouldn't think this would happen, but having seen the Twitter mob get headlines changed, we talked about this a little bit yesterday. They changed one headline three times because the Twitter mob was so upset. Now, I would think the New York Times would be, fuck you! Who cares about the Twitter mob? Because they are above that, in my opinion. But anyway, the point was, it sounds like there are a lot of people in that building who feel the truth is the truth, and the other opinion is wrong. That's what the girl, what's her name, Barry Weiss? Mm-hmm. That's what Barry Weiss said, and some other people were describing similar situations in opinion rooms, editing rooms, that there are a lot of people now in journalism who believe that this is right, this is wrong, we don't want this opinion in our paper. And that's what she was facing, a lot of people. And I don't understand that. I compared it to the guy in our morning show used to go over and complain about promotions. It's like, fuck you, get over here. Well, you don't, that's not your job. But some people feel they know better, and, you know, new opinion editor. So today, the New York Magazine, Andrew Sullivan, he says he was threatened with dismissal if he wrote about the riots. And so I don't know how long ago this was going to write about it, but anyway, he quit. And he implied that New York Magazine is now, anything conservative or centrist is absolutely just, it's considered either fake or wrong or whatever, but they're not really interested in it. So he quit today. There were other people who were quietly unnamed and making complaints about editorial sections as well.
I'm really not surprised with the New York Magazine because they're owned by Vox.
Well, Andrew Sullivan's written there. He's been there for a while.
Sure.
And he feels that the...
That is not the New Yorker.
New York Magazine.
The New Yorker. It's not the New York Times. It's New York Magazine. Yeah, I always confuse those three at times. Like when you see a story from the...
New Yorker has the old-time cartoons. That's what I always think of.
I told you before that I had a class, and that was the material for the class was the New Yorker magazine. I've never read a more boring magazine in my life.
Oh, no, their magazine. They've had good articles in that magazine. I've seen good stuff.
Maybe. I get bored.
Yeah,
it's way over my head.
I won't ever sit down and read the whole magazine. That won't happen.
Talk about the New Yorker. Not New York magazine, but New Yorker.
The New Yorker. I usually did it in waiting rooms in doctor's offices. That's where
you must have been waiting for years.
I always feel like the waiting rooms. I always felt like the waiting rooms could have done better.
That's so
but,
true.
But so anyway, this guy quit today, highlights. And there's just a lot of conversation about what the fuck is going on at these. You know, these are places that you count on, and I did too. And I really don't. I'm very leery of almost any information now, and sometimes I feel like, you know, I don't know. I don't know anything anymore.
No, people,
I don't know if anything is real. Because you go here, you go there, and this guy says this, and this guy says that, and you kind of have to sort of weed out, and then, oh, well, if it's this site, then it's probably going to be emphasizing and not emphasizing this part. So it's just very, very difficult. And
AP and Reuters, baby. AP and Reuters.
Associated Press is still the standard.
The Hill is pretty good.
But they don't always cover the things I'm interested in or have the kind of coverage that I want.
The Hill is
they're very
good.
Basic.
Do you like the Hill's
good? Yeah, the Hill's
good.
I just think there's room right now for
But wait, they're out there. I mean, you have The Blaze, you have Daily Caller. I mean, there's plenty of websites that have the right side.
What do you mean the right side? No. I want it down the middle. I like it down the middle. Tell me this side, tell me that side, and I'll draw my own conclusions.
Well, nobody else wants it that way. That's why it doesn't exist.
No, I know. I'm aware of that. But I feel like there's room right now.
The Hill's
if someone really tried to go out of their way to tell both sides and be like an old Huntley Brinkley newscast,
Or no one will watch it. No one will watch it.
I think some people would. I really do. Maybe they wouldn't. But now, you know, when something becomes a certain way for a certain amount of time and you're the guy doing the thing that nobody's doing, then sometimes there's a market for it.
No one also does deep reads about anything. It's all about headlines and boom, I got an opinion. Headlines and
clickbait,
boom, I got
clickbait,
an opinion.
Clickbait, 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 clickbait. Now.
Like NBC Nightly News, I have watched that for years and years and years, and it used to be a four-minute piece. Every single thing was a four-minute piece. They're cut down now, I think, to about 2.5. And the information in there is so utterly generic that it's all headlines. That's all. Everything's also breaking news. But it must work for them because they still get really good ratings. I was reading a Reuters article. You guys mentioned Reuters and it reminded me. They had their fact or fiction regarding the coronavirus. And it was fiction, and it was the wire in those masks that you wear, you know, that go over the bridge of your nose, are not antennas for 5G cell. Because apparently there's a rumor out there that those wires that they put in masks are antenna for 5G. And Reuters had to put out.
You know, I don't care.
Fact or fiction.
Here's my answer to that. I don't care. It's like
conspiracy theorists.
But it's like the vaccine for coronavirus. If it's got a chip that Bill Gates wants to put in me, go ahead, Gates. I'll swallow it for you.
I know, but there's a lot of idiots out there that are like scared of 5G for some reason, and it's big enough that they have to put out a story, fact or fiction, about it.
I would sincerely doubt that that is the case. But it's just funny when this whole thing about coronavirus, like, I would love a vaccine to coronavirus so badly that I will accept Bill Gates' chip.
Yeah.
He can follow me anywhere.
Unless you're one of the 20% he calls.
I'll take my chances. All right, get us out of here.
Gladly.
So goddamn late. Jesus Christ. Oh, man. I'm sorry. By the way, there were...
Oh, wrong one.
I guess.
Ah, there we go.
Hall Financial Hotline is officially closed. Call Hall Financial at 248-308-5000. Get refied. Some people are getting 2.5, 2.9. It's amazing. And also, I want all our audience to just steal all the Royal Oak bucks. We've pretty much commandeered about half of $400,000 just from this show.
Wow. Well done,
people. I thought that was great.
It's a great deal, though.
They've got like 10,000 people from our show have signed up for the $20.
That's awesome.
So all of you guys can go hang out in Royal Oak.
And bankrupt them. No,
well, it's the, you know, all these participating, you know, retailers and bars and restaurants and coffee shops, they all get reimbursed by the Downtown Development Authority, so they're not losing money on you.
No,
so don't think anybody's going to feel bad. Now, that doesn't mean you don't have to tip anybody, but go to Hail Mary's.
You can tip them with that money.
Go to Little Brothers Burgers. Go to Iron Horse. Go to Joy Evan Mode Bridal. Go to Atomic Coffee. Go to the Bingo Institute of Grooming. Go to Trattoria di Luigi's. Oh, Luigi.
Luigi. It's me, Mario.
Noir Leather. You'll really feel like you're in Royal Oak if you're at Noir Leather. And I was just going to mention there were 1,049 cases of coronavirus in Michigan today. That's why she was making kind of a big deal at the press conference. And they had
May 1st.
Four deaths, however, which is good. And there were 602 deaths in America today. 48,000 more cases.
Great. Fun.
Yeah. Florida had 112 die. So
okay, bye.
There you go. Okay, bye.
Okay, bye.
Bye in the whole world. Make sure you don't get coronavirus. Bye.